America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, we got, well, more than the average reason to feel good today. Of course, we should feel good every day because we live right here in the USA. Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries as we depart on our three-hour Sunday evening classic tour. I am Christopher Hart in the studio with me today, shoveling Chicago-style popcorn into his trap.
Yeah!
Is Aubrey Kahn.
Yes, I am.
And we got Jeff Sennis on the bridge.
How you doing?
And we got you in the audience, and you can be a part of the show at any time during the next 3 hours. All you have to do is give us a call at 407-774-8255, and do keep that phone close by. We got a contest for you tonight. It's not going to be necessarily a Who Said That contest, or a Who Was That contest. It's going to be a Who Was That contest, and what did they say?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to turn it around on y'all tonight.
I'm leaving.
All right, we got a big show lined up for you. Otherwise, we got a special guest who's going to join us in the second hour of the show, none other than Queen Kong.
Yes.
Look out! Queen Kong is coming tonight. And Sunny, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling, will join us as well. Kathy Santo Messino is all loaded up with strange and odd stories on Sunday.
I'm glad
here.
You clarified that.
Yep. So we got a lot of good stuff lined up for you tonight. Carl unfortunately won't be able to be with us, but it's for good reason. He's with family tonight. Got a lot of family coming into town. His daughter is graduating very soon, so he's got some big events over the next few weeks that he'll be tending to. But in the meantime, we're loaded for bear. And speaking of loaded for bear, the SEAL Team 6 guys and the dog were loaded for bear. Then when they went in on the compound there, we found out 5 years ago. 5 years ago, actually, he was killed today.
Osama.
That's the reason why we should celebrate May Day. Forget all that communist bull, you know, about labor and all that stuff. That's just to get you all wound up on socialism. No,
and
May.
Unions.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. May 1st is to be celebrated because that's when we took down Osama bin Laden. For better or worse, we took him out of the game and got a lot of great intel in the process. And, of course, it was a magnificent mission that we know all too much about, but it was magnificently successful, and they found actually very little resistance when they got there, but nonetheless, to do what they did that night was a magnificent raid, no question about it. I had the opportunity last night, the privilege, I should say, of spending the evening with some true American heroes who were pulling off, I guess you could call it a similar mission in many respects, but under much more trying circumstances. We went over last night, Kathy Santo Messino, me, Dr. K, Ken Vihek, and his wife Bernadette. We all met up over at the Eastern Florida State College campus over there in Cocoa, and watched Black Hawk Down with members of Ranger Battalion that was, you know, the movie was made about. And I didn't think about it last night until I got home, but it was kind of in a way ironic, or if you will, it was just interesting timing that we saw that movie yesterday, and then today we're kind of celebrating, or at least noting, the death of Osama, because it was that raid in Somalia and what we did after it, or didn't do, that gave him the boldness to go ahead and kind of be what he was. Not that he wouldn't necessarily have otherwise, but during the rest of his life, more than one occasion, he referred to that Black Hawk Down incident as how America can be defeated, that America will cut and run. And when the going gets tough, when you kill a few of their soldiers, America will go away. And that was the lesson that he learned from Black Hawk Down. It was a tremendous act of heroism on all the parts of all the players that day, that night, and the next morning in Mogadishu. And the movie is a shadow of what real life was like there during those hours. But it gives you a good, pretty good taste of it. But it was a privilege to be there last night with, of course, Colonel Danny McKnight. We also had Carl Mayer there. He was a sergeant, CW5. He was a pilot. He was a pilot, and he flew the Little Bird, one of the Little Bird helicopters. And if you've seen the movie, he flew the Little Bird helicopter that set down and picked up one of the injured crew members from the first Black Hawk that went down, because there were actually two that went down. That right? Yeah. So he landed, of course, that little helicopter under withering fire, and in a situation where he didn't have much room to maneuver around. And this guy went on to fly for 30. He flew over 30 years in the Army, all kinds of helicopters. We talked to him afterwards. He flew some Black Hawks. He did not mention the Chinook helicopter. But just about every other helicopter that the Army flies, this man flew over 10,000 flight hours under all kinds of combat situations, not just in Somalia, but in Operation Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Afghanistan. These guys flew wherever there were missions to be flown in air cover. They were there.
True American hero.
Yeah, that's the good news. The bad news is, of course, and Colonel McKnight has talked about this on the show, one of the particularly bad decisions that was made by the Pentagon at the behest of the administration, because the political honchos didn't want it to appear as though we were re-entering a troop buildup a la Vietnam. Because if you remember the situation in Somalia, we had actually gone in with the United States Marines while George H.W. Bush was still president. This was one of his last major acts as president. And it was because the warlord Idaid and some other bad characters were hijacking all the food that agencies and countries around the world were sending there, because there was famine, because there was civil war. The warlords were hijacking the food and causing even more mass starvation. So we went in with 20,000 Marines. I don't know if you remember, but it was the Marine raid where it was done under the TV lights. Do you remember that? Where
yeah.
The Marines came in and it was
And the TV and the camera crews were all on the beach with the beach lit up waiting for...
with the Keeg lights and everything. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
Fortunately, there weren't any Somalis to meet them. And because they had scattered, they had skedaddled. Well,
but they knew what was going on. They were prepared.
Yeah.
And how dumb can the Clinton administration
have
been?
Well, that was actually under H.W. Bush.
But Clinton did the same thing.
Well, but what Clinton did was even worse, because after he became president, he withdrew those 20,000 Marines. And just as in Iraq, Idaid and the bad guys were sitting around, because the Marines actually were successful in opening up the lines of getting the food to the starving people. All right, the bad guys scattered like a bunch of cockroaches when you turn a light on, right? You send 20,000 Marines into a place like that, and the bad guys tend to go away, at least for a while, all right? And they had gone away. And so the situation seemed pacified, like Iraq. So Clinton didn't want to be, you know, a wartime president or anything like that. So he recalled the 20,000 Marines. Well, of course, as soon as the Marines left, the cockroaches all come back out, and the whole scheme is turned back on its head again. And once again, they're holding up and hijacking the food. So Clinton's idea was to go in basically Obama style with special ops, kind of what we're doing in Iraq right now, right? Because he sent in the Delta Force, special ops, and the Rangers, special ops, and they back up special ops, right? And these sophisticated pilots with the air cover and helicopters, because they had decided that they didn't want a big footprint. They wanted as small of a footprint as possible so that it didn't look like we were invading or somehow doing what Bush had done. Heaven forbid Bill Clinton do what George H.W. Bush had done, which would have been to send the 20,000 Marines back.
Take care of the problem.
And then, exactly, because when they were there simply to get the food to the starving people, not to get ID'd. So Clinton figures he's going to be smarter than that. So he decides to send this special forces conglomeration of units from the Army, because you had Rangers, you had Delta Force, and you had UN over there. So it basically turned into a mishmash, because they didn't send the full Ranger complement. They cut it short by 20%. And then the decision that I was getting back to was that they did not send the C-130 Spectre gunships, which are loaded with massive Gatling guns and other nasty things. And there was a question. These fellas did a question and answer period last night, and I'm going to tell you who the rest of them were there that last night. And 201, they said if that gunship had been there, it would have made all the difference in the world.
Of course.
All the difference in the world. And what the little bird helicopters tried to do was make up for the missing C-130.
Right.
But it was, it was only a fraction of what a C-130 could do. And the capability just is not the same. That's why you have a C-130 Spectre, because other forms of armament and birds can't get it done.
Just cannot compete.
No. Exactly. And 10,000 hours, and we were kind of asking him about it. And he says, and he'd only seen the movie once before until last night, and he said, because of all the other missions he had flown, that one had kind of gotten put in the back of the closet,
right.
I'll tell you a little bit more about it when we come back, because once again, it was just an absolute privilege to be there. And it went to benefit a great cause, St. Baldrick's Foundation for Pediatric Cancer Care. And we're going to be involved in a cancer carathon coming up this week, so it all works together. But it's worth talking more about. Let's just put it that way. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Boy, we were with some tough guys last night. As I was telling you, Colonel Danny McKnight was there at the special showing of Black Hawk Down, along with the helicopter pilot, CW-5, Carl Mayer, and Master Sergeant Sean Watson. He's depicted in the movie. He's, of course, one of the guys. They get pinned down in there, and he is the sergeant who's in the helicopter when the Ranger falls while he's going down the rope out of the helicopter at the very beginning of the operation. And he was there. Ranger Todd Blackburn, who was there that night. And by the way, the movie kind of depicts him more as a rookie than he was. All right, he wasn't as green behind the ears as he's depicted in the movie. But nonetheless, he did fall out of the helicopter as he was coming down that rope. And it's amazing that the man lived at all. And he was loaded up and they took him by Humvees out of there. But he was there last night, and he's got 5 children now, and he and his wife were there, and they seem to be a very, very happy couple. And he's living in Pensacola as a law enforcement officer. And Colonel Dave Moran was there, and he was a chaplain. And he actually wasn't on the mission in Somalia, but he worked with the family members back in the United States, and of course was there to tell the 6 families of the 6 Rangers. There were 17 Americans killed on that mission, but 6 of them were Colonels McKnight's Rangers, and Dave Moran, had to help the families through that. And it was a powerful evening just to see the movie. And I'd be honest with you, I had seen a special on the History Channel about that mission, And so when the movie came out, I didn't see the movie because, and then every time I'd watch, sit down and watch some of the movie, it just made me so angry I couldn't finish watching it. So last night was for me the first time I saw the movie from beginning to end without getting up and walking away. They had an intermission in the middle where the guys came out and answered some questions, and then they answered some more questions at the end. But it was the first time I had sat there and watched it through, and it was an honor to be there with the guys that I was watching being depicted on the screen. And we took some pictures. We're going to be putting them up on our new website, AmericanAdversaries.com, on the Wall of Fame, as we're calling it. And you'll be able to see the guys and us there last night. So once again, it was a great evening, and sorry if you missed it, but it was a fabulous crowd there last night, and they raised over $10,000 for the St. Baldrick's Foundation for Pediatric Cancer Care.
Excellent.
So good time well spent. Time and money well spent. Okay. Let's get down to a little bit of politics, because Indiana is coming up. I mean, it is literally right around the corner. Early voting, however, has been already going on since the 4th now of last month. So pretty much a full month of voting has occurred. And that's bad news for Ted Cruz. And more bad news for Ted Cruz was the NBC Wall Street Journal poll that came out of Wisconsin today that shows him 15 points now behind Trump. Trump at 49, Cruz 34, Kasich 13. And this was taken the 26th through the 28th. So this would have included his little liaison, if you will, with which he denies. He denies they had anything going together, he and Kasich. He denied it today. Just a coincidence in his eyes. Whatever it was, it didn't help him. And evidently the announcement of Carly Fiorina being his running mate, should he get the nomination, evidently has not...
That was not one of his better ideas.
Well, let's just say it doesn't seem to have gotten him a whole lot yet. We'll see. They still act tonight and tomorrow to do some campaigning. They're barnstorming across Indiana. He's in his bus, and so it remains to be seen, of course. But these are very similar numbers that we saw coming out of the Northeast last weekend prior to the big night that Trump had Tuesday night. So if that trend, if you will, holds true, this may be the beginning of the end, if it hasn't already occurred, for the Cruz campaign.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to get the ballot on the first.
Aubrey, you got to talk into the microphone.
Sorry, he's not going to. He's obviously not going to be able to win the majority. So he's got to try and get in so that he can win the second or the third ballot.
Well, as a matter of fact, you're talking about the delegates. When it comes to the delegates, it would take him. He would have to win 120%. Just like John L. Casey said on our show the other day, in order to get to, you know, on win this thing on a first ballot, that's, of course, impossible, unless you're a liberal or a socialist. But Trump now only needs 47%. But the thinking is, and I think it's pretty accurate, matter of fact, I was saying it, I think, a week or so ago, that if Cruz loses Indiana, especially if he loses big like he lost last week in the Northeast, well, let's just put it this way. The fat lady may not be singing, but that skinny one named Carly will be a singing some more lullabies, only she'll be singing them to poor old Ted, because he's going to be beside himself wondering how this here thing got away from him.
Well, you know, I mean, Trump's more than likely going to take California.
Well, even if he comes away splitting it with Cruz, by that time it's
too late for Cruz.
Exactly. And this, especially if Trump wins big Tuesday night, this is an if, but if Trump wins big, like this poll indicates, or better, if he gets over 50%, the momentum is going to be very, very difficult to stop. It's going to be practically impossible to stop. And Trump could just go lock himself up in Trump Towers, and it would be a done deal. Of course, he's not going to do that, but it's just that, and I feel bad, you know, and in a way mad at Ted Cruz because he let the message get entirely away from him. He said this morning, and he was all over the talk shows, he said that that one of the reasons, he didn't say the reason, he said one of the reasons, and this was the one he talked about, one of the reasons he chose Carly Fiorina was to give the voters, and he was talking about primary voters now, a clear choice between he and Donald Trump. And I thought to myself for about a half a second that if you need to appoint anybody else to help you make it a clear choice between you and Donald Trump, you somehow, my friend, ain't getting your message through.
And you done picked someone who's pro-Muslim.
Well, that comes into play, too. But the bottom line is, even by his own thinking, he was telling us that Donald Trump is better at getting his message out than Cruz is at getting his. So much better that Cruz needed help. That this is not a good admission. Mr. Cruz, even if it's true, you shouldn't be saying it. This is, I can't get it. He's supposed to be so smart. This was not smart. This was not smart to do it, and it was not smart to say that. But it's what I said the other day, though, in his own way. He said exactly what I said on the show the other day, and that is that he has gotten so far off message. People have forgotten entire, unless you are a cruiser and are a regular visitor to his website, you have no clue whatsoever really what the man stands for.
And that was probably why he's lost.
Why he is definitely going down, or up the river without a paddle, or however you want to say it. He is in dire straits. Let's just put it that way.
He's cruising down the river.
But at the end of the day, unfortunately, he has, in my opinion, only himself to blame. It's that old saying, and people credit it to Einstein, that to do the same thing, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Right.
All right. Now, here has been Cruz standing pretty much right next to Trump on the debate stage all during this campaign. So he's been right there in the middle of things with Trump the whole time, right? I mean, right off his elbow. And he sees what Jeb tries to do with Trump. Jeb gone. He sees what Walker tried to do with Trump. Walker gone. He sees what Rubio tried to do with Trump. Rubio gone. Now we see what Cruz is trying to do with Trump, and guess what we're fixing to see? Cruz gone.
Cruz was...
I mean, can't you figure out that it does not pay to go after that man?
I don't know whether it pays or not, but what he has... Cruz has always been very good at debating. And the moment there was no place to debate any longer... That's when he started going off message.
No, he started going off message toward the ends of the debates because he realized that Trump was not going to implode, as they were saying, go away on his own, so to speak, fade away, that he was now a real threat to Ted Cruz's plans to get the nomination. So out of his first real act of desperation, in my opinion, he decided to do what all these other losers had done, thinking that it, because it was he, Ted Cruz, he was going to be able to do what they hadn't done. By the way, Carly did the same thing. She gone. And so he steps up. Oh, I'll be the one who can take out Donald Trump. Well, we see now the results of that, don't we? And there was little old me all along the way saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's not going to work. And it didn't. And it won't. And the next up will be Hillary. Now we shall see if she has learned the message. Let's see what Nate thinks. Nate, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, Chris. I wanted to say that I feel like Cruz's pick for Carly.
Yeah.
It was a bad move, but it was the best move that he could make. Because I mean, sometimes it's a bad move for a quarterback to make a Hail Mary pass.
Yeah.
But it's the only thing he can do, or lose the game.
Yeah, you're right.
His team up with John Kasich at the end. Honestly, I think if Kasich had gone out, you know, a couple months ago. After Super Tuesday, when he should have, because he didn't win anything, Cruz would be much closer to Trump.
But Kasich
has been a foil
to
Cruz this whole time.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, but I still think that part of the problem really for Cruz is that he's off message
when
he's
talking. That's true.
When
he's talking, I agree with him nearly on everything he says. But he kept saying it's the same stump speech.
Yeah.
Over and over again, he didn't change it, and I was like, "Come on, Cruz, you can do better than that."
And
he could have. I think he'll have to wait 4 or 8 more years to try it again.
Yeah, if they give him another chance. All right, hey, thanks. We appreciate you calling, Nate. We appreciate you being out there too. We'll talk to you on the other side of the break, along with everyone else. And don't forget, later on in the show, we will be doing our Who Said That contest. Only it's going to be a Who Was That and What Did. I'll go ahead and say it. He say.
Yeah. And before we go off quickly to the break, I want to clarify what we're talking about with Chicago popcorn. This is not popcorn that was bought with food stamps or at the point of a gun. Okay?
Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries on a Sunday evening here as we celebrate our military. Let's just put it that way. Had a great evening last night with the guys. Six of the guys that the movie Black Hawk Down was made about. And then, of course, today is the anniversary of the nailing of Usama bin Laden. So we really appreciate that.
And they laid him to rest.
They laid him out. That's right. 407-774-8255 is the number if you would like to join us. That is Aubrey Khan. I am Christopher Hart. We'll be here for 3 hours tonight. And, of course, you got three more great live hours of radio with Mark Walters and the Armed Room Radio Show. And no, wait a minute. Armed America Radio Show.
You keep crossing.
I'm cross-dressing them. Better not let them hear that. Mm-hmm. Me say that, though. No, Arms Room Radio actually is live Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock to 5, right after Aubrey Khan's live Talk to the Experts show, which was 1 to 3.
Right.
And I hope you caught it yesterday. It was a great show. And then, but Armed American Radio will be on tonight with Mark Walters, 8 to 11. All right, on FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer. And we're also on 1520 WBZW. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, and then we'll go back to the conversation on politics here. John, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, Chris, Aubrey.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Good to hear from you.
I'm doing well, brothers.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to put this out there. For the last probably 4 months, each and every day, have received 5 to 7 emails from either Ted or his wife in their names or his campaign. And the bottom line is, I've never been asked for money so many times. And it is constant. In fact, it's so constant it's aggravating. If it shows up in spam, I just delete it. But it shows up in my Gmails, and it's actually, that alone has turned me against it.
Well, how did you get
other things? I don't know, you know.
I didn't know.
That alone, the amount of begging, I call it begging, that's going on is just astronomical to me.
Well, first of all, how'd you get on his Christmas card list there, John?
I have no idea.
the question is, how do you get off, right?
There's no way to say, you know, unsubscribe because I didn't subscribe to anything.
Yeah, well, see, this is sort of I'm glad you mentioned this because it's sort of a, well, I don't want to call it a secret, but it's a painful little thing that's going to become more obvious should Ted Cruz lose Tuesday night, because he has raised a lot of money, but guess what? He has spent a lot of money. His operation is a high-budget operation. It takes a lot of money to go around the country wrapping up these delegates the way he's been doing. It's clever, but it's also very expensive, and he needs a lot of money to do it, and he's running out. he's running out at the worst time because he needs to keep in this thing to keep his plan alive. And if he runs out of money, he's grounded, and that's never a good thing with a campaign. And so that's why they're begging so much, John. They have put themselves in a situation where they have a huge machine that needs to be fed, and the food bucket's getting empty. And it's a bad sign.
Well,
but it's
Chris,
part of campaigning. Yeah,
I liked a lot of things Cruz said.
Yeah, well,
I didn't formulate an opinion about him, but in the last 2-3 months, he has shown himself to be much more a part of the establishments which he so-called rallies against, and he's what I don't want anymore.
Well, I tell you, these last two moves, you know, epitomize that. The move with Kasich, he's establishment. That's why Kasich's still in this thing. And then the Carly is establishment. Carly worked in the Bush administration.
You want to downsize a corporation? You want to lose jobs?
I tell you what, can you imagine what the Democrats will do with her? Not only did she lay off, it was actually 30,000. I thought it was 50 the other day. I knew it was a lot. She laid off 30,000 people from Hewlett-Packard and then outsourced, not all, but a lot of those jobs to China and India. Boy, that's going to play real well in the general election, don't you think?
You know that's right. And you know, the one thing I love about Trump is all of his information's out there. At least I think it is. If something comes out that's not known, I think it would probably be a lie, or there'd be nobody to attribute it to, but we'll see what comes in the future.
Yeah, well, I tell you, if there were
more that comes out on Cruz, you know, they say happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
Well, his wife's 100% establishment.
Oh, yeah, she is. She worked in the Bush administration, too, by the way, and that's maybe, I don't know, but it oftentimes happens that people who do that get jobs at Goldman Sachs. And guess where she got a job after the Bush administration? Goldman
and the
Sachs.
Bush finance managers are now Cruz's finance manager.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things here that, you know, a lot of people, that if you don't follow it, they don't know.
Yeah.
But
he's
everything that he's, he's things that he says he isn't.
Yeah, well, see, and your timing goes back to about when I think he really got off message, when he got off of his message and got on to banging Trump. And that's not going to work. You know, trying to take Trump out has been proven to be a loser, at least in the primary, and he's not going to be successful, it appears. And if he loses, once again, significantly Tuesday night, it's going to be near impossible for him to get the money that he needs, to get back to your original point, to be able to continue his high-priced campaign. So it's,
I agree with you, and I appreciate y'all each and every day.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, John, each and every day, too. Thank you so very much. We appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's you know, Cruz is I was watching the shows this morning. As I said, he was on all of them. But then, of course, they would have the talking heads afterwards, and they were talking about him picking Fiorina and was it good or was it bad. And I think one of the talking heads, I think it was Peggy Noonan, it may have been one of the other ones, said that, no, I think actually it was one of the other ones, but anyway, they said that they thought that basically he was making sure that he didn't do anything that he would later regret not doing. In other words, he sees the end coming, so he's kind of, well, this is what I would have liked to have done, so I'm going to go ahead and do it now. Maybe it'll make a difference. If not, at least I'll have done it and not regret having not done it. So I suppose there's a little bit of logic in that, but he got so far off message that, and while he was on the shows this morning, 90% of what he talked about was Donald Trump. It's never good for your campaign if you're spending so much time talking about the other guy's campaign.
Exactly.
It means you are in the dust. You are eating his dust. Oh, my
Lord. Never give free marketing to your opponent.
Boy, he sure did it this morning. Sure did it this morning. Yeah, all right. Well, that's the Republican side. But by the way, well, let's go now and visit on the Democrat side for a little while. Because it's interesting because Hillary found herself in a little bit of hot water this weekend. Did you see that? Did you see why? Don't go off the reservation on me here.
I'm not. But I didn't know she had any Native American blood in her.
She's got whatever it takes in her. But maybe I should rephrase that.
She's got that black Southern drawl.
She's got whatever it takes to be the campaign to candidate. I should say.
If she was any more false, they'd be putting her as padded bras.
Well, in this case, it's once again a case of this happened recently, where she was lamenting of that political correctness was actually biting her. I can't think right off the top of my head what the instance was, but I remember noting it on the show. Yes, this now it's she's talking about Trump playing the woman card and about how she's had men go off the reservation on her before.
Bill Clinton was number one.
That's what I talk about with Bill, right? Well, he's been way off the reservation. He's way in town. He's downtown partying. He's the partying hound.
Well, I don't know if you saw something that was on my Facebook page, but it was Chelsea Clinton standing next to Bill and saying, you know, I know my dad has strayed away from my mom, and I understand it, because if you've ever seen her naked, it's not good.
I wish that that were true, but the last part is, Chelsea's saying it ain't, but it's interesting that, of course, she thinks she's on top of this race card deal. I mean, this woman card deal, right?
Yeah, of course. That's why she only pays her women 86% of what she pays the men.
We'll go ahead and take a break. We'll pick this up on the other side, because it's ironic that once again the political correct crowd is going after one of their own, and it happens to be Hillary Clinton running for president, and it happens to be wrapped around what she thinks is going to be the harpoon that she brings in Moby Dick with, right? So we're going to talk about this on the other side, because I'm here to tell you here tonight, folks, that the deck has been reshuffled. And I'm going to tell you who shuffled it on the other side of the break. And it ain't Donald Trump. It ain't Bernie Sanders. It ain't conservative media. It ain't Hillary Clinton. But I am going to tell you who I think it is. And you'll say, Shazam!
Hell. Who needs a ring? Come on now!
All right, well, we're speaking of women wrestlers. We're going to have Queen Kong.
Wrestlers. With us.
Or maybe better known as Matilda the Hun. Matilda's going to join us later on in the next hour. That's going to be fascinating, because Matilda, if you haven't figured it out, Matilda the Hun, Queen Kong, she was in the business known as a heel, and she was very good at it. So we'll be talking to her later on. 407-774-8255 is the number. You know, summertime is here. You got summertime blues or the summertime whatever. It is the time when the insects come out here in the state of Florida. I'm talking about the mosquitoes and all that sort of thing. And then, of course, you got the outside activities and just doing a lot of stuff. Chances are you're going to get a burn or a nick or a cut or a bee sting or a butterfly sting or whatever it is, an insect bite. Whatever the case may be, the stuff for you is Roxy Pacifics, don't you see? That is because this stuff is really good for your skin. I like to liken it to Miracle-Gro for your skin, because it is the right chemical composition to make your skin grow healthily. And it's real easy to find. You can do it a couple of ways. You can go to their website directly at skinfix.us. Or if you're at our website or just want to go to our website, you just want to remember one website that'll take you to all these great places, just remember AmericanAdversaries.com. That's our brand new website. Launched it last week, AmericanAdversaries.com, and you'll see where we have the sponsors there. We're tweaking it a little bit, but it's real easy to navigate. It's a beautiful website. We're really proud of it. AmericanAdversaries.com, you can find them there as well. And the Roxy Pacifics is all-natural kelp-based solution. That, as I said, it's great for any kind of skin affliction, whether it's a chronic one or not. And believe me, people are coming up with all kinds of uses for this stuff. We even had a guy in our audience who called and said that he uses it as a spray for his eyes. because the stuff he was getting through the doctor and everything just wasn't doing the trick. He started using this stuff, and it really helps him. And so it is great stuff. And I tell you what, we'll give a bottle or two away. If you've never had the Roxy, send you a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. Call us at 407-774-8255 and give Jeff your address, your name and address, and we'll have the Roxy's send you out a little free one-ounce bottle. You can try it. No obligation.
All right. And the other thing is, if you speak and Chris feels magnanimous, he might offer you a bottle for free.
Well, if you've never gotten one before, that's the only condition. But if you have gotten it, you know what I'm talking about, because the stuff really works.
It's good.
It really is. All right. I want to take Frank's phone call, and then we'll get back to the Hillary and the woman card and who, in my opinion, has reshuffled the deck for us. Frank, thank you for calling tonight. We really appreciate you.
Hey, Chris. I wanted to pay. It's Kentucky Derby week, and I'm a huge horse lover.
Yeah, coming up this Saturday.
Have you ever heard of Sergeant Reckless, the Korean War hero?
No, I don't believe I have. Sergeant Reckless?
Sergeant Reckless, yes. Yeah, Sergeant Reckless, when the Korean War broke out, and I want you to Google this, because they just dedicated a monument to Sergeant Reckless at the Korean, at the Marine Museum in Triangle, Virginia, okay?
Okay.
But when the Korean War broke out, the Marines bought a Korean racehorse in training, filly. And they trained her to carry ammunition across 35 miles of rice paddies, okay? And they would strap all this big, huge ammunition to her back. And they trained her to lay down when she heard gunfire, okay?
Wow.
And she, all by herself, she made 51 trips. Of 35 miles one way across rice paddies delivering ammunition to the Marines. She was wounded twice. They awarded her 2 Purple Hearts and made her a staff sergeant in the Marines. How's that for a
Sergeant Reckless, I
Sergeant
presume?
Reckless. Look her up, man. And I'm a huge horse lover. That story brings tears to my eyes, son. By herself.
I can see why. That is a fantastic story.
Yes,
I can't wait to tell McBath about that, because he's a horse guy.
Me too. I used to own some race horses that I raced in Ohio. I'm a huge Kentucky Derby's my favorite day of the year, so huge fan.
Well, I love it too. I just love watching the Derby race and hearing it called and everything. And I've never been one.
I'm giving you the winner right now. You can tell your friend. That's his name, Exaggerator.
Exaggerator this year?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, Exaggerator is where we put our money.
And if it doesn't win?
I'm not held responsible.
Okay, I was going to say, are you going to be collecting 72 virgins?
Yes, but, that's right.
No, that's 72 Virginians with guns, by the
way. Oh, okay, all right.
Google that, and you'll see the monument. It's awesome.
Sergeant Reckless, thanks.
Yes,
thanks.
Right.
I love that sort of story. That is great. And, we'll check into that.
Okay, Chris.
All right. Thank you, Frank. We appreciate you. All right.
Bye-bye.
That is cool. I love stories like that. That's cool. All right. Boy, I wish I'd have known that ahead of time. That would have made a great who was that question or something.
Yes.
Right? But who knows? We may pop that out later on. But, yeah, we'll check into that. Sergeant Reckless. All right. We were talking about how Hillary sort of got into a little trouble of her own as she was trying to put a whooping on old Donald Trump by playing sort of the woman card on him. Can I put it that way? Right?
She ain't heavy. She's my brother.
She was trying to play the woman card on him by him saying that she was playing the woman card. She was making a big deal out of that and talking about how she has known men who have gone off the reservation, you know, and other than Bill Clinton, I can't think of too many men except Chelsea's real dad. But no, wait, did I say that?
You did.
Oh, Webb, the fellow by the name of Webb. You remember Webb?
Webb the Hubble.
Just look at a picture of Webb Hubble before
was it
Chelsea.
Huddle? I don't know.
And her facial, right? Okay. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But besides those two fellows, anyway. So she gets in trouble by using the phrase off the reservation. because that's not just microaggression, that's macroaggression against Native Americans. Oh, heaven forfend, you can't say that anymore.
And a fellow woman Democrat.
Yeah, and so she, yeah, old Lizzie Borden Warren.
Mm-hmm.
But she got in a little trouble over that, so that kind of took the zing out of her playing the woman card. Which, though, brought me back to, she thought that she had a winner in this, and she's still going to play this card, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she tried, she did. She, in a clever way, turned it on Trump the other night, even actually before he had already said it on the stump. But Tuesday night, when he spoke, it was actually after Hillary Clinton had given her victory speech, at which time she had won three of the four primaries that she was going to win that night. So she didn't know if she was going to win three or four, but it was pretty clear she'd done well. And even when she loses, she still does well. Thank you, superdelegates, right?
Exactly.
And so she had nothing to worry about. So she comes out and she says, if he wants to play the race card, that's fine with me. I forget exactly how she said it, but if I'll stand up for equal pay.
She lied.
And she went down the list and she said, I'll play that hand any day. So she's making it more like playing a hand of cards, right? So I'm thinking about this and then seeing what happened with the reservation thing. And I'm thinking, you know, what's been going on in a larger general sense with the whole campaign season, both sides. And I'm thinking, you know, the deck this time around really has been reshuffled, that things are fundamentally different in some ways, more so on the Republican side, but even I think on the Democrat side, because Bernie Sanders, no one ever planned for that. It was okay to have Bernie Sanders run so Hillary Clinton could beat on him a while and then shoo him away. But that didn't happen. And so it's been unexpected for him to do what he has done. And yes, she's still going to win the primary. But see, the real damage that Bernie is doing is that there are going to be a lot of his supporters who are
swing over to Trump
or just not vote at all.
Right.
And that's going to eat away at her base. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah.
Nah, it's not going to eat her base.
Well, the deck has been reshuffled.
Yeah, but her base is so large. I'm sorry. I didn't go there.
Even Slim Fast wouldn't eat away at her base. But
she and Rosie O'Donnell.
The deck has been reshuffled. Now, you said during the break you thought you knew who it was, because I said it wasn't Trump, and it wasn't Bernie, it wasn't Hillary, wasn't any of the players on the primary stage. So you said you thought it was...
It was the dog, Bo.
Barack Obama. Well, I think that the one who has done the reshuffling has certainly, if you will, used Barack Obama. But in my opinion, I think it's the big dog himself.
Soros.
Yeah, no. I think what we are witnessing here is God's hand literally at work. That things are happening that are in a lot of ways unexplainable. And it just doesn't happen in politics type stuff. And it's happening. And it's happening right before our very eyes. And at some point, you got to understand, folks, that God is alive and well and kicking. And you have to understand that God is oftentimes not going to ask how we do things, how we would prefer things done.
That is true.
He's going to do things his way, and it's up to us to kind of figure it out why, if we are so endeavored to do, or endeavored to do so. But I truly think that what we are witnessing this go-round is divine intervention. I mean, it's happened before in this nation's history. And God never really leaves the scene.
No, he's never left this country.
No.
He's never...
No, he is not. He's right here, right now, and hard at work. And it's just up to us to be a part of that.
Well, we just got to line up with him and do what he wants.
And of course, praying, and everybody has their own role to play. Everyone does. And praying hard, if you don't know yours or feel like that you're not part of it, just pray. God will let you know in his own way. He's not going to do it our way, though. He's not going to ask our permission, or he's not going to ask for our plan. He's going to do it his way.
Right.
And he's going to use He's going to use people that we would least expect. So you can't deny that things are happening in this political season that would never have happened before, or if they did, it would have been the end of this or that candidacy. When before could a socialist be considered a serious candidate in one of the two major parties of this country? When? Maybe in 1900 or something like that, when we had a much stronger communist movement in this country, and we had a much stronger labor party, if you will, in this country. Maybe back then, because that was the start of the communist party in this country. But since then, that's been an automatic dead loser. Even on the Democrat side, you don't say that.
You don't say it, but it doesn't mean that you are not one.
Yeah, but that's just the point, though. There were some things that you just didn't do before that are happening right before our very eyes.
But you've also got to remember, we have how many generations have been taught that socialism is the answer, that capitalism is racist and sexist and evil in every way in our schools and our colleges.
Yeah.
And so the time has come where people can stand up and shout from the rooftops, I'm for socialism.
And so what's a good
and get away with it.
And so what's a good answer to that? Elect a capitalist to be president of the United States. And I'm not talking about a lawyer, educated politician capitalist. I'm talking about an honest-to-God capitalist who has dealt with the business world and the political world, because you cannot get away. It's one and the same. When you're at that level, it is one and the same. At any business level, you cannot get away from government participation in your life. The bigger you are, the more it exists. So, the answer, I believe, that we are getting, if you will, from above, is elect a capitalist. All right, we got to take a hard break. When we come back, we're going to have our Who Said That? No, Who Was That? And What Did He Say? Contest. We're going to have Matilda the Hun, that is Queen Kong, and King Khan. Do you like that?
She was a big lady.
King Khan. Of course, she wouldn't be Queen Kong if she wasn't.
I've been watching her against Little Fiji and Amy the Farmer's Daughter. Was it?
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WPZW. Apopka, Orlando. Community events. Financial news.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Chris wants to talk about the hypocrite in chief, the liar in chief, and of course, the one who doesn't pay women the same, although she pushes for women's equality.
You talking about Hillary?
Well, it wouldn't be about anybody else.
Well, you said
because Michelle does not have skin in the game.
Ah, she doesn't. All right, that is Aubrey Khan, or King Khan, as we call him. We're going to have Queen Kong on later on in the show.
And she's not my bride.
You better watch out, boy. She'll make you her. She'll make you her bride.
She's in California.
You better be glad. She'll make all of us her bride. All right, I am Christopher Hart. That is Aubrey Khan. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. And you can join us at 407-774-8255. That's the number. And here in just a few minutes, we're going to do our We normally do a Who Said That contest, but tonight we're going to do a Who Was That contest and What Did He Say? All right, so and we'll see what we can come up with here in just a few minutes on that. Yeah, I want to jump over and talk about a little bit for a few minutes about the White House correspondence dinner last night. Because you said hypocrite in chief. I thought you were talking about Barack Obama. One thing I'll have to say is well, two things about Barack Obama that I have always sort of admired. All right. I'll come out of the closet now that his administration is almost over.
Okay.
Actually, maybe three. One is his smile. I mean, he's got a great smile.
He uses those Crest White strips. What can I tell you?
But, you know, it is a beautiful smile. You got to admit. And believe me, that played no small role in him getting elected twice.
Right. And he won the women's vote because he's a sharp dresser.
Well, he's, you know, he's dapper. The other thing that he's got a pretty good comedy style, and I always thought he's done well when he does comedy. All right, he's got good timing. He delivers the jokes, and he delivers them with a straight face. I mean, he's a good stand-up comedy.
What did I say this evening before the show?
Well, tell everybody.
All right, I said he could be in the likes of Bob Hope and so because. Back in the days, the comedians dressed well. They dressed in a tuxedo and stuff, and they were actually funny.
And
I was watching him last night.
Yeah,
and yeah,
and he is.
He dresses well. He delivers the punchlines well, and you know that explains why his administration's a joke.
It goes a long way. It does go a long way. But he could have been a comedian. He absolutely could have, especially with those big old ears. But yeah, I've always sort of admired that.
Dumbo.
The third thing that I have admired is his political skills. He's not a good leader, but he's a good politician.
And that's he's a great dictator.
That's how you get to be president of the United States, and not only be president, but be a consequential president. You cannot deny that this president has been extremely consequential for the bad. I mean, that's not saying anything good. I mean, you got Obamacare, you got this lingering recession, you got the whole world coming apart at the seams.
You got these trade deals.
And he has played no small role in that. He has not been there. When you study political science, you study the presidency. And one of the things that these eggheads try always to do is categorize things, right? And in the presidency, you have several categories of president. You have caretaker presidents.
Yep.
Okay, those are presidents who just kind of come along and try to keep everything more or less way it is. And that was George H.W. Bush. He was like a caretaker president. No real big initiatives, just let's keep everything on, you know, going. Then you have consequential presidents. And Barack Obama is a consequential president. Ronald Reagan was a consequential president. FDR was a consequential president. These are presidents who do things that affect everyone's life in a major way for a long time. And Obama has been a consequential president, no question about that. So that's bad news for us, good news for their side. But yeah, he did a good job again last night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yep.
And then up comes the guy after him, and his name was Larry, not Williams, Larry Wilson or something like that. And he got up there, and he you know, in his odd liberal sort of way of trying to mark the accomplishment and the achievement, if you will, of a black man being president of the United States and leader of the free world, that sort of thing, he starts slinging around the N-word at a correspondence dinner last night. And
liberals can do that.
Well, it is. You're talking about the hypocrite in chief, you know. It's just, I don't know. It seemed totally out of place and inappropriate. It's even got a little bit of criticism from people on the left, but obviously it's not going to get nearly the criticism it would have got, let's say, if who's a conservative comedian? Larry the Cable Guy. I think he's conservative.
Yep.
Who's the guy who he used to travel around with? Ron White, he's a conservative guy. It was, imagine if they go in there and start saying the N-word, right? And then, man, you have really achieved something as a black president, you know, and then start slinging the who would ever thought of blah, blah, could do that, right? It just seemed quite inappropriate, and I thought took the shine off of Obama's last night doing that sort of thing. I will miss his comedy, but I won't at all miss his what he has done to the country. That's for sure. But there are you know, things around the world going on this week too that sort of gotten lost in the sauce because of all the campaigning and everything going on here in this country. Iraq, even as we're sending more troops over there, we have now about half the number of troops that we had there when Obama took them all out.
Right.
And telling us then, promised us that there would be no boots on the ground, then it became no combat boots on the ground. And now, of course, not only are they on the ground in Iraq, but now we know they're on the ground in Syria, too, where he also promised they would never be.
I thought he'd issued them with Nikes so that they wouldn't have boots on the ground.
Yeah, maybe something where they don't leave actual prints in the sand. But Iraq, their political weak coalition government that they had over there is coming apart at the seams in Baghdad, and that does not bode well for their efforts to drive ISIS back in the country, right?
Exactly, because his plan for fighting the ISIS was to have a coalition in power. And that coalition is falling apart due to protests, et cetera, et cetera.
And suicide bombings and the regular assorted run-of-the-mill terrorist violence, which is still racking that country.
And, of course, Joe Biden has just been there, too, help
unannounced.
Calm the political unrest. And, you know, that went over like a
lead balloon.
There you go.
And so that's going on. Thank you very much, Barack Obama. And news out of South America is not good for Venezuelans. The remnants of the policies of Chavez down there, which this new president tried to keep in place, has continued to devastate that country. This is why you don't want to go down the path of Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders, let's just say you may end up feeling the burn in a way that you might not appreciate because you can't find any toilet paper at the grocery store.
Right. Just like now in Venezuela.
Yeah, tell them what I'm talking about.
Yeah, in Venezuela right now, there's a shortage of toilet paper. And it doesn't come in rolls. It comes in sheets, 200 to a little packet.
Oh.
And they're queuing up for it. They can't find it. It's not in the shelves. There's a shortage. You know, you would think shortage of food, a shortage of whatever. But toilet paper?
Hey, it's one of the necessities of life, right? Unless you got some kind of alternative. But and by the way, in South America, they do use bidets down there. But having said that, they are out of toilet paper or having to ration it out. Not only that, but one of the countries of the world that has one of the largest supplies of oil are running short on energy.
Right.
They're having blackouts on a regular basis.
That's racist.
Yeah, okay. The brownouts, whatever you want. The lights are going out, all right, on a regular basis. And you can't tune into the American adversaries down there on a regular basis. So the people are upset about that. But don't, unless you're going to do it on Monday or Tuesday, don't plan on being able to say or do anything at the government office about it, because they're only going to be working
two days a week. But you've got the
that's their own style of government shutdown. It's called socialism.
The IMF, the International Monetary Fund,
yep,
predicts inflation in Venezuela will be 720% this year.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. And the economy shrank by 5.7% in 2015 and hasn't experienced positive growth since 2013. The bolivar, which is the Venezuelan currency, has shed 93% of its value in 2 years. They've run out of food. They're forcing the government to declare a nutritional emergency.
That is a serious depression brought on by seriously ill-advised socialist policies, like I said, that were put in place by Chavez, held in place by his replacement. They're now stuck. They're in a really bad way. And it started when they nationalized the oil companies, because that country was getting wealthy on energy. And when they nationalized the oil companies, they started milking them for social programs. And in the process, they let the equipment get dilapidated. They did not do any new exploration. And then the price of oil collapsed. And that was
that was their downfall.
That sealed the deal. All right. We're going to seal the deal with some winner tonight, because on the other side of this break, we're going to play our Who Was That contest and what did that person say? So please stay with us. And we're back on this beautiful, it got a little scorchy this afternoon, but it's nonetheless a nice Sunday afternoon here in Central Florida. You're listening to the American Adversaries, and we're going to go ahead and play our contest now. And you'll be playing. Oh, by the way, I was thinking there during the break, you were talking about that situation, sad situation down there in Venezuela, where they can't get the toilet tissue. You know, maybe we should send them a batch of Roxy Pacifics. Because if you get that kind of burn, the Roxy will work.
Don't use no poison ivy.
All right, and don't forget, you can go to our website to find Roxy Pacifics, and you can find Aubrey Kahn's great advertisement for Firm Foundation Home Inspections. And, you know, I've been noticing a lot of people getting new roofs, and I bet you not many of them know that when you get a new roof put on your house, it almost definitely means, but there's a very high probability that you can now get a large if you want to call 10 or 20% discount on your insurance, large, and I do, you can get that.
Yep.
And why is that?
Because there's this thing called a wind mitigation inspection. And when you put a new roof on, the new roof has to be brought up to code,
which is much more stringent thanks to the hurricanes that came through 12 years ago.
Correct.
And so when they bring it up to that more stringent code, which basically means a lot more nails in the decking and that sort of thing,
right,
maybe some braces and that sort of thing, it's to make it so your roof is much more difficult to blow off your house, you get a discount, 10 to 20% on your insurance, your homeowner's insurance.
Up to a maximum of 60%.
60?
That's the max.
Wow.
I have yet to meet anyone that's gotten that. You're going to have...
That way you have to have
doors and windows. Every door and every window.
Yeah.
And the roof and all other kinds of stuff.
Right.
But, yeah.
That you have to actually expend extra money. With the roof, you're not actually expending extra money in order to be able to get the credit. Because obviously, if you're getting a new roof, it's because you need a new roof.
Right.
So you're not going to spend any more money to get the credit. If you got a new roof, get the credit. And you can't just call them up and say, hey, I got a new roof. You want to see the receipt? That doesn't work, does it?
No, unfortunately not. But it's good for me because it keeps the money coming in.
Well, because what Aubrey's talking about is you need a certified home inspector to authorize your application for the discount with the insurer.
Right. You can also have it done by a licensed general contractor, engineer, or architect. But believe me, they all charge a whole lot more.
I was going to say, you're going to pay a lot more
than a home inspector
if
does.
If you go that route. That's right, because that's not really part of what they normally do. With home inspectors, it's part of their normal routine, so to speak. So Aubrey Kahn is your guy, Firm Foundation Home Inspections. You can find him at orlandoshomeinspector.com. And, of course, this is the sort of thing these guys talk about on Ask the Experts every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3. Do you think you need a new roof? Call these guys. Maybe you can get some more life out of the one you got. But nonetheless, and by the way, this discount, once you get it, it's good for 5 years.
Right.
And then what can you do after 5 years?
Have it done again.
You get another inspection, and you get the discount again. And the discount pays for the inspection.
Oh, time and time and time again.
Well, yes. It pays for it in the first year plus. In other words, the inspection will cost less than the discount you'll get in 1 year.
Correct.
On your insurance.
Under most circumstances.
Unless you're living in a teepee.
Did I say a word you can't say?
No. A teepee is okay.
Yeah, okay. I don't want a Native American dwelling. Yeah, I don't want to get into any trouble like Hillary talking about men getting off the reservation.
But you know, you're talking about wind mitigations. There's a lot of new roofs because of the hailstorms that went through.
Yeah.
I was down in your favorite area just last week. Cypress Cove. Because we had golf ball sized hail go through south of Kissimmee where Cypress Cove is located.
That, you don't want to get caught in a hailstorm without any clothes on. I'll tell you that right now.
Are you talking from experience?
Maybe we should send them some bottles of Roxy Pacifics too. That ice will burn you.
But you know, a lot of the homes there are manufactured homes,
yes,
or, you know,
right,
and they have vinyl siding.
Oh yeah.
And it was like someone took a cannon full of golf balls and just shot holes in all this vinyl siding.
I mean, that's some serious millions of dollars of damage
in that place.
That is some serious hail there, buddy. All right, I tell you what. Let's
put our clothes back on and get back on the job.
Easy does it, there, partner. All right, let's do our contest here. Normally, do a Who Said That contest. Tonight, we're going to do a Who Was That and What Did This Person Say. Now, we all know that it's basically become routine for politicians, major presidential politicians, even presidents themselves. Now with Barack Obama. To be on comedy shows, late night comedy shows, or whatever, right? Now, I'm not talking about the correspondence dinner last night where Obama was the comedian. And by the way, he was a far better comedian than the idiot that came on after him.
Yes.
But and by the way, I thought that the funniest part with Obama was when he was poking fun of himself, sort of.
Himself and Michelle.
Now, well, I'm talking about the bit where he was in the White House screening room where you can watch movies in the White House, which, by the way, was George H.W. Bush's favorite part of being president. It was that he had all these gadgets in the movie room, all right, and could watch any movie that he wanted anytime and even get movies pre-released. Anyway, back to Obama. So here he is in the White House screening room, and sitting next to him is John Boehner. Now, did you see that part?
Yes, I saw that.
Neither one of them is in a suit. They're like in casual clothes.
Oh,
and Boehner is explaining to Obama life after politics, right? He goes, and McDonald's is serving breakfast 24 hours a day now. Which, by the way, off on a side note, I've got to complain about that, right? Because I go to McDonald's regularly to start my day with scrambled eggs and a biscuit.
Okay.
All right. Well, the other day, I happened to roll in, and it was almost 10:30, and somebody called me on the phone, so I pulled over in the parking lot into a spot to answer the phone and talk on the phone. So when I go through the drive-thru, it's about 10:40, right? And so I order my scrambled eggs and a biscuit. I mean, the McDonald's I go to, I almost don't even have to say it. They know what it is, right? And I'm sorry, we're not serving that now. I said, well, I thought you were serving breakfast 24 hours a day. Well, not those items. Well, I consider those items to be breakfast items. In the South, we eat biscuits for breakfast, right? And scrambled eggs.
Well, see.
So I don't know what they're serving 24 hours, but it ain't my breakfast. But anyway, back to Boehner and Obama. And so it's kind of cute. And then at one point, Boehner pulls out his pack of cigarettes.
And offers one to Obama, yes.
And the looks on Obama's face. I mean, he does have a comedic, you know, vein in him.
He does.
And it was quite cute.
I loved it when Boehner was tearing up.
But anyway, so it's not unusual, and the correspondence dinner aside, it's still not unusual for President Obama and presidential candidates, they've all done it now, to be on a comedy show, late night or otherwise, right? So I want to know from you. And we're looking for someone who has not won on a Sunday night before, okay? Well, we'll see if we can get a new winner again tonight. We've been doing this now. We've gotten a bunch of new winners lately. Let's try to do it again tonight. What I want to know is, who was the first president to go on a comedy show? And you got to tell me what he said. Obviously, it's a he. Who was the first president to go on a comedy show? And what did he say? All right? It's that easy. 407-774-8255 is the number. You will win a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, only the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida. And James Hall has been playing up there Saturday nights with his trumpet. Oh, sweet jazz sounds from James Hall and those horns that he plays.
Right.
He brings in about a half a dozen of them. And he gets even sweeter sounds out of each one. But $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. And by the way, they are located 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. Their phone number, if you'd like to make reservations, they have fine dining. They have casual dining. They got a full bar. They got takeout. They even do have a catering service that I seldom mention, but they can do. They can cater for you, too, cater a party or event. 407-774-8080. That's Cafe Positano, 407-774-8080. You'll win that. You'll win a My Liberty Threads T-shirt, and you'll also win a Liar Liar Pantsuit on Fire bumper sticker to go along with all that. All right, so that's the prize stash. The clue is, or the question is, I should say, who was the first president to appear on a comedy show, and what did he say? All right? Looking for a new winner tonight, 407-774-8255. If no one gets it right, the first person to take a crack at it will get it, the prize stash. All right, 407-774-8255. For that. All right, back to some news from abroad, if you will. We were talking about Venezuela and the turmoil that they're going through down there. There's some turmoil going on over to Europe, too, having to do with these Syrian, Middle Eastern, and North African refugees that have been flocking to the country. The right-wing party has now adopted an anti-Islam manifesto. And it is driving a huge wedge into German politics. And Angela Merkel is seeing her approval rating
plummet. I think the sun is going down on Angela Merkel.
On the Deutschland and the Deutschland president. It is not good news over there. And they're in a mess. Because they have taken in, what, over a million of these refugees?
They were going to take in a million this last year, yeah. I don't know how many they actually took
in. And see, neither do they.
No.
And that's part of the problem. And they are all eligible for social welfare programs. And, of course...
Just like, yeah.
Yeah. And you have the German authorities who are covering up crimes and the types of crimes that they are committing so as not to panic the German population, the citizenry.
Just like here.
And...
Remember, Chris, that our men over in Iraq and Pakistan were not allowed to interfere with the Pakistanis and the Muslims raping children?
Well... That's the sort of thing that they bring along with
because
them.
Because it was their culture.
Yeah, well, now our civil authorities are making similar, shall we say, accommodations for them. By the way, on that story, I don't know if along those lines, I don't know if you remember the story a while back where a Marine, I believe it was a Marine sergeant, I'll pull it up here during the break, but one of our soldiers over in Afghanistan was reprimanded and was being threatened with court-martial because he had stopped a Afghani colonel or something
raping a young boy
that he had kidnapped and chained to his own bed for his sexual pleasure. And this guy stopped the guy in part by beating the hell out of the
right.
The
but he was given a dishonorable discharge. Well, he's been fighting it, and he's won.
And he has won. He has won that case. That's right.
But now, here's the thing. What are they going to do with him? They might put him in a soup kitchen somewhere in the middle of nowhere and let him rot out there until his time is served.
Until President Trump comes along, and then he'll get a commendation, maybe. All right, we'll take a break. Once again, who was the first president to be on a comedy show, and what did he say? It's real easy. We'll be right back.
It's all about the game.
All right. Thanks for being with us tonight, folks. Hope you're having a fine Sunday evening out there. It's a beautiful day this afternoon and evening, and I hope it's a great cap to your week or start to your week, however you look at it. And don't forget to join us tomorrow night. We'll have Abe Katzman with us, and we're also going to have James back with us. James, our new web guru. And we'll be talking a little bit more about our new website and some of the exciting things that you can find and do there. And it's, of course, AmericanAdversaries.com. And anytime you want to find out more about any one of our advertisers or sponsors, you can go to our website, and we're linked up there. And we're also linked up with a lot of other great organizations like Wounded Officers Initiative, like Honor Flight. And there are just too many for me to mention here right now. Okay, Aubrey Kahn sitting across from me tonight, Christopher Hart here, you there, and we're looking for an answer to who was the first president to be on a comedy show, and what did he say, and we've got Pasquale on the line, but now Pasquale's not eligible. Is this Pasquale Barba?
No, this is the other Pasquale in Central Florida.
Okay, all right.
Not Pasquale Barba.
All right, well, Pasquale, who is it who said that?
My guess was that it was Richard Nixon, and he said, sock it to me.
Sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me. That's right.
Is it right?
It is indeed. That's right. Yeah, he did. He came on, and he was trying to, you know, more humanize himself, I guess would be the way to say it. And
amazing.
Yeah, he was apprehensive about doing it, but he did it, and he was the first. That was the Laugh-In, I believe it was.
Yes, it was Laugh-In, and I just happened to be watching a documentary last night called The 60s.
Oh, really?
And that was on it. I thought, well, that's got to be it.
It was, and you're right. See, it pays to watch about history and learn about history, Pasquale.
Pays to listen to your show.
Indeed it does. Thank you. I like it the way you said that. Have you had the opportunity to go to Cafe Positano and or meet Pasquale Barba?
No, I haven't.
Well,
I've been wanting to.
All right. Well, you're going to go now with a $20 gift certificate, and I'll tell him to be on the lookout for you, and please make sure you ask for him when you get there. He'll love to meet you.
Great. Thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate it, and I love your show.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you. Thank you
so
much.
Take care.
All right.
Okay,
you
bye.
Too. All right. Okay, so I told you it was easy, didn't I?
Yeah.
Sock it to me. I don't know if you remember, that was a big phrase back in the day, right? As was, here come the judge. All right, so congratulations to Pasquale. All right, let's see here. In just a few minutes, we're going to have our guest join us, Matilda the Hun. As she was known when she wrestled for the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, and she was also known as Queen Kong, and if you've gone to her website, you will see why.
I don't know if she wrestled for them. I think she wrestled against them.
On top of them.
All of them at once.
She was known as Queen Kong in the Federation Powerful Women of Wrestling, and so she's going to join us, and of course, as a glow girl, she was a colleague of our Sonny.
Yep.
So we'll be talking to her. But, you know, once again, politics and wrestling ain't that far apart. And she played a heel. And the heel is a very important role in the whole scheme of wrestling. And it's also a very important role in politics. And we disdain negative ads and things like that. But all it is one politician trying to make a heel out of another politician. And see, this is, to get back to Cruz and Trump, this is another reason why I don't think it works for these other guys to go after Trump and basically try to make him into a heel. We all know that. We know who he is. Trump is the odd thing about this election season, because Trump appears to be the one who's the unpredictable, the wild card. But when you think about it, Trump, at least amongst the Republicans, now anyway, is the most known element. And what I mean by that, more people know him more intimately, if you will, than they know Kasich or Cruz.
Yep.
This is an introductory thing on a national level for Kasich and Cruz, as it was for all the other 16 or whatever. It's an effort to take their political wherewithal, their political popularity, to a national level that will get them elected to the highest office. And so they are playing catch up to him because he's already a nationally known personality. And so many people already know a lot about him. And that's why a lot of people have solid opinions about him, pro and con. In other words, a lot of people love him or they hate him. And it's because they already know pretty much what it needs they need to know about Donald Trump.
Or what they want to know.
Exactly. That didn't exist for the other guys. Not on a national level. It was up to them to sell themselves on that national level. And in that sense, they kind of had to play catch up to him. And turning around and trying to make him into something that everybody already knows, he's the known quantity. You're wasting your time doing that. It is an absolute waste of time. The important thing to do in the primary season is to sell yourself. And you don't sell yourself by spending all your time or a maximum part of it, a majority of it, talking about the other guy. You just don't. You maybe pivot off of him or her. You may say, well, he says that, but here's really what I want to do. You see, he's not going far enough. You see, this is what Trump, where his weakness was. He's not going far enough. That would have been my tack. I wouldn't have attacked the man personally. I would have said, he's not going far enough. I'll go farther. He wants to do X, I'll do X, Y, and Z. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
But the other fellas didn't see it that way, and that's why they're gone today. All right, so Venezuela, Iraq, Germany, all coming apart at the seams. How about London Town? Some interesting things coming out of London Town.
Well, you know, London is very cosmopolitan.
Is it now?
But it is becoming more and more, excuse me, or should we say increasingly Muslim. And because of that, it looks like London is going to have its first Muslim mayor.
Certainly it's a distinct possibility as an avowed Muslim is running for mayor.
And of course, it's a Labour candidate.
As I was just getting ready to say,
anti-free market.
In the Labour Party, which is one of the major parties in England.
England, right.
It would be as though a Muslim were running as a Democrat.
It's the Socialist Party.
It pretty much is, but it's their left-wing policy.
Yep.
And or left-wing party, I should say. And this is no small. I mean, yeah, we got de Blasio up there, you know, in New York. Right? He's a communist, all right? That's bad enough.
Right.
I mean, that is bad enough.
Well.
But then when you go electing avowed Muslims in a country where you have a problem of Muslim enclaves and the Muslim population not assimilating on purpose into the British lifestyle, You got a bigger problem than de Blasio in New York.
Right. And according to Reuters, Sadiq Khan, no, not a relation.
I was going to say.
All right. He's a Muslim. I'm not a Muslim. Sadiq Khan is as much as 20 percentage points ahead of rival conservative Zach Goldsmith. Sadiq Khan's father is a cab driver. Goldsmith's father is a wealthy industrialist.
Oh, imagine that.
And so guess what? They're talking race card. They're talking socialism.
Income inequality. You name it.
And it's playing right into the Labour Party's playbook.
Yeah, unfortunately, you got a lot of, shall we say, malinformed. I'm not even going to say misinformed. Malinformed voters over there as well.
Right.
And you got a lot of liberals who, you can't discriminate based on religion and all of this nonsense, which is malinformed because, first of all, this is much more than a religion. And second of all, it is, let's just say, would you discriminate against an invading force? because they're invading you?
Oh, no, not allowed to do that.
Well, most likely you would.
Not in this country.
If you recognized it as an invading force.
But, sorry, his dad's not a cabbie. His dad was a bus driver. And of course, he, Sadiq, is a human rights lawyer. And he says he's fought extremism all his life and regrets sharing a stage with speakers who held abhorrent views.
Let's see. A human rights lawyer is kind of like a constitutional professor at Harvard, right?
No.
Well, yeah, it is. Barack Obama, him, they're all cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, but no. It's more like a... not a constitutional person, but a stirrer, a community organizer.
Oh, the community organizer. Well, he called himself a constitutional professor.
But he never was.
All right. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries.
Hoorah!
And away we go. That's right, folks. I'd like you to join me as a member of Legal Immigrants for America. It won't cost you a cent unless you want to donate to the organization. It is a 501c3 charitable organization, Legal Immigrants for America, or for legal immigration, which means they're against illegal immigration and bringing undocumented and unvettable refugees into this country. You can join by going to golifa.com. That's golifa.com, golifa.com, or you simply text LIFA to 53445. You'll get updates. You'll get alerts. If you go to the website, they've got all kinds of information there, the latest information, the latest documented statistics, and great articles that are being written on a regular basis by Steve Gushov and others. Legal Immigrants for America, they are all for legal immigration, as are we. And, of course, Aubrey is a legal immigrant to this country, and it was a long, hard process to become an American citizen, wasn't it?
It is.
Was it worth it?
Up until this administration, yeah.
I was going to say, there's a little pause there. All right. It's still worth it, and hopefully you folks
well, we're not as welcome as we used to be. You know, if we just walked across the Mexican border, we would get free housing, free food, free health care, free medical, free dental, subsidized utilities, free phones. But you come here as a legal citizen, immigrant. You're not allowed to be a burden. You're not allowed to get welfare. You don't get subsidized house. You get nothing. You get kicked in the teeth by this administration.
Well, it's upside down, that's for sure, in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to be on the show with us tonight. And don't forget, we're just the start of six great hours. Well, if you include the Rays baseball games, almost 10 great hours on Sunday afternoons and evenings of live radio here on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
That was a great game up until the ninth inning.
Yeah, got tagged for a 3-run home run and ended up losing 5-1.
5-1.
Yeah, it was 1-1 tie going into the top of the ninth. Ah, so goes the game of basketball. All right.
Baseball.
Did I say basketball? Baseball.
Yes. See, it would be a sorry match if it was 5-1 in basketball.
I pulled a Cruz. I got my wrong. I got my sports all mixed up, right? Yeah. The ring toss is something you do at the fair, not on a basketball floor, right? Anyway, also... please visit our new website. We are so proud and excited about this, and we're going to be, like events like last night where we took some photographs, we'll be posting those up on our wall of fame, and you can communicate, you can contact us through the website, and it's real cool. And so AmericanAdversaries.com is our website, and as I said, we're linked with all of our advertisers, and we're linked with a lot of great organizations from one of the pages on our website, and all the pages are easy to get to, they're easy to navigate to and from. And you can get from any one page to any of the other pages directly, and it's just, it's a dream. And so AmericanAdversaries.com is the website. Also, if you would like to be an advertiser on the show, that's great. But if you can't really afford to be an advertiser on the show, you can certainly be an advertiser on our website at a fraction of the cost. And if you're interested about that, you can either call the station here or you can try to contact us through the website. But in either case, we would love to have you as a part of the American Adversaries team and the American Adversaries Army. And for you folks who don't want to advertise in any way, shape, or form, you can still be a member of the American Adversaries Army, and we invite you to be. And we got a lot of great things lined up for you. There's a lot of great perks, if you sign up during the month of May. We're kicking off a recruiting drive for this month. Our goal is to recruit another 100 members of the American Adversaries Army. We got a nice, strong guerrilla force, I call it, right now, with the members that we have. But we need to turn that guerrilla force into an army, and we would like to anyway. That way we can, well, first and foremost, make sure we can continue doing what we're doing. Second, we'd like to expand into more markets, and who knows, maybe we can somehow expand into some more time as well. But the point is, we could sure use your help as members of the American Adversaries Army, and we're going to try our darndest to make it worth your while. Not just give you, you know, I don't know if I can say great radio show, or but the one you seem to like, and continue to do that. And then also you'll be getting a news. You'll be getting what we call it an intel brief, but that's our newsletter. We're much more regular with it now, I know. No, for a while there, it was coming in spits and spurts, but we're getting much more regular with it. You have coupons in the newsletter itself, and that's we also got some other tchotchkes. Is that how you say it?
Tchotchkes, yes.
Tchotchkes, yeah, that you'll get for signing up. And we got various ranks. You can come in as an enlistee. You can come in as an officer. You can come in as a general. And in any way that you can, we would love to have you as a member of the American Adversaries Army. Okay, we're trying to get our hook up with our guest. We're having a little trouble getting through, but should we at any time in this segment, we will go right to our guest. She has been in pro wrestling for quite some time. She played the heel during her career and was quite good at it. And in pro wrestling, the heels are oftentimes the most popular of the wrestlers. And it's because they get so many people worked up so much. And that's, of course, the role that they play. And which is why I say Trump has been playing the role of a heel in the political process here. And he's been doing it quite well. And he's been getting a lot of people quite worked up. And in the process, developing a very strong, as Ted Cruz himself characterized, impassioned base of support. And indeed, they are impassioned. As Carl keeps reminding me, by the way, Carl's with family tonight. If you just go to the Facebook and see some of the back and forth between the Cruisers and the Trumpers, impassioned is a mild way to put it, okay?
Yeah, I said heel to Donald Trump, and he never listens. Heel, Donald!
And Dee Booher is her name. Matilda the Hun is how she wrestled as a gorgeous lady of wrestling. And Queen Kong as a powerful woman of wrestling. So I'm hoping that we can get through. Of course, as a gorgeous lady of wrestling, she wrestled with and beat on
Sonny.
Sonny was a face. He was a baby. They call him faces, baby face.
Right.
A good guy, good girl.
And I don't think Sonny's outlook was too sunny after meeting Matilda.
Matilda would put it on him. Let's just put it that way. Matilda would take on two or three at a time and still come out.
The victor.
Yes.
Or the victress.
All right.
Whichever.
All right. So, but anyway, Sonny's going to join us at the top of the hour. Kathy Santo Messina is going to join us in the next hour, and she's got some of Sunday's odd stories packing with her. And I've got a handful myself here. We still got a lot of good show lined up for you here tonight. Once again, want to thank you so very much for being with us. I also want to talk about some events coming up this week, because there are some great events coming up that we would like you folks to come out and participate in. Starting Tuesday is, if you are a business person, BizFest is the place to be on Tuesday if you at all have the time. And it goes on from noon until about 7:30 or 8 o'clock that evening. It culminates with a cocktail party, which kicks off at 6 o'clock. and it's a great business networking opportunity. You get a good taste of what they do over at SCORE and a lot of all the other organizations that are at the National Entrepreneur Center in the Fashion Square Mall. And for attendees, it is absolutely free.
Are you going to be there?
Yes, we will be there. I'll be there all afternoon, and we'll be doing a live remote broadcast from there. During the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time show, we'll be doing there. Colonel Danny McKnight's going to come over, and he's going to join us there at
Very
the Fashion
cool.
Square. So if you have another chance to meet
Mike,
Colonel McKnight.
Mike going to be there?
Mike McBath's going to
Well, he's
be
not
going
to miss a cocktail party, is he?
No, of course not.
Not with those martinis.
But it's going to be a lot of fun for attendees. It is absolutely free. All you have to do is go to scoreorlando.org to register. Just go to scoreorlando.org, click on the BizFest there. It's real easy to do, no charge whatsoever. And if for some reason you think you can't come and all of a sudden you discover you can come but you didn't register, that's okay. Just come on over and walk in the door, and they'll help you out. I mean, you may not get all the stuff that they'll be giving away to people who do register, but you are still welcome to come. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, we're going to be at the Debbie Turner Cancer Center right up the street here in Apopka, which is right literally next door to the Popeyes. I'm sorry, Popeyes. I mean, doggone it. What's the barbecue place up there? Porky's Barbecue. We're going to be at the Debbie Turner Cancer Center doing a carathon. Now, the station is going to be doing a carathon all week long starting Tuesday through Friday, and we would love you to come out there and visit with us as we do the remote broadcast or as they're going to be doing other remote broadcasts from there. Roger Franklin Williams is going to be doing his show from there. Big Jim Turner, is going to be doing his show from there.
I wonder why.
Yeah, and so the Debbie Turner Cancer Center, and it's a carathon to raise money for the Cancer Center so that they can provide assistance to families who are dealing with that horrible disease here in the Central Florida area. And then Thursday, we're going to cap it off with our Tijuana Taco Eating Tournament. Aubrey, you want to be in on the tournament? We've been meaning to get you signed up for this here thing.
I can eat a taco, too.
Yes, sir.
Or three or four.
Come out and see if you can eat more than Aubrey Kahn. This Thursday, Tijuana Flats is at the one where we're going to be at is going to be at the intersection of 434 and Tuscarawas Boulevard, and it's right there. I mean, it's right at the intersection. If you're at that intersection, you can't miss it. Tijuana Flats, Thursday, we'll be doing our live broadcast there from 5 to 7, and in the course of the second hour of the show, we'll be actually doing live the Taco Eating Contest, and McBath will be calling the action. I'll be a judge, or I'll be keeping track of the time and that sort of thing. And by the way, if you want to get in on the contest, we still have one or two plates at the table that we can set you up. Just give us a call at 407-774-8255. Our friend Rick Brown is sponsoring this, and of course Cinco de Mayo is a big day for all Mexican restaurants.
I didn't know Mexicans used mayo.
That's what I call it, Cinco de Mayo. And they're going to have a live band after us that starts at 7 o'clock. They'll play till about 10:30, and they are comprised of five members of the Winter Springs Police Department playing classic rock. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Just leave your bongs at home.
It's medical.
That's right.
It's medical. You can't stop me.
Oh, there you go. So we got a week full. I mean, we're taking the show on the road, as it were. So come on out, meet us, and enjoy the events, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So Tuesday, BizFest at the Fashion Square. Be there or don't be square. Be there or be square,
be fashion.
There it is. That's right. Wednesday, the Debbie Turner Cancer Center here in Apopka. And then Thursday, the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs, 434 in Tuscarawas, for the Taco Eating Contest. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll hope you are there wherever you are. We will be there for you if you can't be there with us. So once again, got a big week coming up this week. So we'd love to see you come out for that. And enjoy the events. Okay, well, it looks like we could not get our guest tonight. All right, we'll see if maybe we can get her during Sunny's segment of the show. Otherwise, we may just have to go with her next week. In the meantime, we're coming up on a break. Don't forget, if you want to be a part of the show, just give us a call at 407-774-8255. And once again, please check out our new website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Brand new website, brand new address, AmericanAdversaries.com. And if you'd like to be a part of the American Adversaries Army, it's real easy to do. You just sign up right there. If you'd like to be an advertiser, you can contact us through the website or just call the station number. Here is much more direct. Just call the station line, and we will call you back and get you all hooked up. Okay? So we're going to take a break here, and then when we come back, we'll have Sunny, our gorgeous lady of wrestling, coming to us from L.A., where we're going to be talking about the riots in L.A., for the Trump rally.
More of those, are we? And you know that Black Lives Matter have said they're going to keep on protesting if Trump gets the nomination.
Oh, of course.
And then, of course, I've been called all kinds of names because I'm saying we need to bring out the fire trucks and turn on the fire hoses.
All right, you heard it from Aubrey Khan. All right, we'll come back on the other side of the break with one more hour of the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour with Sunny, our California glow girl, Kathy Santomassino, our Sunday odd stories girl, and a whole lot more. So please stay with us.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW. Apopka, Orlando. Community events. Financial.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
I hope you're feeling good here on this fine Sunday evening as the sun sets in the west. 5 years ago, the sun set permanently on Usama bin Laden as we double, triple tapped that SOB.
Well, we think he's a goner.
Well,
because no one's seen any proof.
I bet you ran into Elvis at the gas station too, didn't you?
No, but he went
Buddy Holly,
overboard.
Right? You saw Buddy
he
Holly?
He went overboard. He drowned.
He did.
As they say in Poinciana.
Yeah, he did. He did. 5 years ago, we took care of business, and Usama is no more. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. I am Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Khan. We now are joined in the studio also by Kathy Santomassino. And here in just a few minutes, we're going to have Sunny, our California glow girl, join us. And don't forget, though, coming up as soon as we go off at 8 o'clock, you got Armed American Radio with Mark Walters. I was listening to them last week. Man, those guys really got it going when it comes to gun legislation and politics having to do with gun stuff. So they come on at 8. They'll take you to 11. But in the meantime, it is now time for our very own gorgeous lady of wrestling herself. That would be Sunny Patricia Summerlin coming to us from where are you coming to us? You in the mountains? You on the strip? Where are you at?
You just never know with Sunny the California girl, but
sure.
I am in California, and I'm up in lovely Lake of the Woods.
You at the riots?
No, I managed to stay far away from the Trump riots.
You're not at the Trump riots?
The Trump riots.
I like my Trump chump.
Let's
perfectly, it matches, it flows.
All right. Hey, I want to bring on, we got her with us now, someone who you know very, very well. And, of course, we're talking about one of your arch rivals in the ring, Matilda the Hun herself, D. Dee Booher. Dee, thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, there she is. I hear her. Hi, Matilda.
Hi.
How are ya?
I'm hungry for some raw meat.
Oh, I'm running out of the ring.
All right, dude. I find myself
doesn't
in between.
Matter how old I get, I want to eat me some raw California meat.
Oh. We got to save a little bit of me for next year, though.
I was gonna say.
We're putting that CAC together. I need just a little bit of me for that.
Well, then I'll be just a little bit nice.
let me ask you, though. Obviously, you were very good at being a heel in wrestling. Did you enjoy that, playing that role?
Oh, God, yeah. They love to hate you.
Don't they, though?
I think I helped them embellish that image that they love to hate you. And you know, it's just so glamorous when you're so evil that you sparkle. I love it.
but in fact, that's what really drives the drama. I think so. Yeah, because you set the pace. You give the good guy a reason to exist, so to speak.
Right.
And
we need both. I mean, the basic drama of life is good versus evil. So you got to have the really good girl to make the bad guy be bad. So it's equal.
How did you get into wrestling, Dee?
I was the first girl on a college wrestling team. I had no idea I was going to do professional wrestling. I didn't have a clue. I was 6'3", 200 pounds, and everybody's going, you're just a big, dumb broad. I said, oh, yeah? So I went and took self-defense. And I started kicking some ass in that. And then I took collegiate wrestling and I kicked my teacher's ass. I think I need to do something with this.
I hear you. I went
to the Olympic Auditorium and I said, hey, you need to hire me. And they laughed at me and threw me on my butt.
So you ended up in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
How many years did you wrestle?
Oh, God, too many. I started when I was like 22, and I didn't stop till I was in my 50s.
Is that
wow?
And that's why I'm in a wheelchair now and have all kinds of ailments.
I was going to
ask. Don't let that fool you, guys. She'll still get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the good thing is I can get out of this chair.
Yeah.
that's good. Would you do it different?
I think I would have stopped taking slams a little bit earlier. I think like even the football players and anybody that's into contact sports, they really need to respect their spine a little bit more.
it really does jar your spine when you gals are in there throwing each other down and stuff like that.
And then I went on to do a thing called slammograms, which means I'm going into people's homes for birthdays and, all kinds of special occasions. And I'm picking up the guy over my shoulders and spinning him around. And I thought it was so cute. They thought it was funny. However, you do that for 10 years after professional wrestling and your neck goes pop. So,
wow. Oh, I can just imagine.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah. I had that once in the ring with Beastie. Didn't you also roller derby? Weren't you in part of that?
I did roller derby at the Olympic Auditorium, and I was my husband and I were promoters of mud wrestling, and I wrestled professional football players and everything else. The mud wrestling was great. I made more money in that than professional wrestling.
Is that
right? There was no money in professional wrestling. You know, the men were barely making any money then. I knew Hulk Hogan when he was Terry
Bollea.
You know, whatever his last name was.
Bollea, yeah.
And I was at the Olympic Auditorium when it wasn't even Hulk Hogan yet. And they paid the girls $25 if you were lucky. And the guys were lucky if they got $100.
Wow. You must have really then enjoyed what you were doing.
You have to enjoy it. You have to believe there's something. Bigger than that.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Well, do you have a website or anything now, Facebook page and all that?
Oh, absolutely. Go to Matilda T. Hun for Facebook, and then go to queenkong.com for my website where I have all of my YouTube wrestling matches from GLOW, and I have GLOW T-shirts for sale, and I have my book, of course, Queen Kong, my life of glitter, guts, and glory, Glamazon Queen Kong. That's all about, it has everything from telephone sex to dominatrix to glow days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's led a life, guys. Amazing.
You gotta make money somehow because wrestling don't make it.
I guess it doesn't. Well, listen, I want to get you back when we can spend some more time with you, but we've got to move on now, Matilda. But I want to thank you for being with us tonight, and we will get you back on.
I got one more thing to plug before you let me go.
Yeah.
You got to look at my movie, The Dog Wedding.
The Dog
Wedding? Oh, yes. Out
now. It's really cute, The Dog Wedding, and Matthew, the head trainer at the WWE down in Florida, Matthew Bloom, he was my son in the movie, and he and I run a dog wedding business together. It's the cutest movie you have ever seen.
Where do we find that?
Go to The Dog Wedding online, check it out. You can get it on YouTube, you can get it on Amazon TV, and so that's really cool. And then don't forget our cruise. I guess Sonny's told you all about our cruise.
You're going on that?
Yes, yeah, he's going to be on. Woo!
We'll be on the cruise, and I'll be having pictures of me and when I was a hot dominatrix baby. I bet you want to see me in my leather, huh?
I know Aubrey does.
It goes without saying.
Anyway, okay.
Go to queenkong.com, y'all.
I'm there.
And give you some email and buy my book. Come on.
If you insist.
Old lady make some money after all these years.
we'll do just that, Matilda. Thanks for being with us, Dee. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Queenie.
All right. So was she mean behind the scenes, Sonny?
Oh, yeah, she is. But she's a sweetheart like you hear now, of course.
Yeah, she sounds like
it. Yeah, boy, I didn't have to wrestle her in the ring. It was bad enough I had, just as big women like Big Bad Mama, rest in peace to her, that I, wrestled and beastie enough that killed me.
Yeah. Well, you referenced Trump there when you first came on. Of course, you had the riots out there in California and at the Trump thing. He still had a huge crowd inside the place. I've been saying that part of Trump's appeal is that he has been using the same psychology, if you will, that professional wrestling uses, and that he's been playing the part of a heel up to now.
Exactly.
And he's been getting this loyal, impassioned following, but he's also churning up some pretty impassioned feelings on the other side.
Yes, he is. But he's getting a good crowd of the celebrities, Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn.
Really?
He's got some pretty, they're Trump supporters. In fact, they had a little mini parade in the Palisades for him. So he's got some good and some bad and some indifferent there, from my understanding. But like I said, the law, most of them are supporting Bernie Sanders.
Big in California, huh?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, though, it looks like for Bernie that Hillary's, going to wrap this thing up. Do you think?
That's what I was just going to say. No matter what, even if, let's say, Bernie takes California, he's won many states, but just because she has super delegates. The superdelegates are what's going to make it. And Hillary, for sure, is going to be the winner.
Well, let me go down that road a little bit with you here because, we've noted on the show here, as Bernie has been winning these primaries, of course, he hasn't won every one, but he's won a lot. Mm-hmm. He wins the primary. She comes away with more delegates.
Exactly. If he even wins the California primary, that's what will happen. That's what they're predicting still. Because 51%, check this out, 51% of Bernie supporters expect Hillary to be the elected president just because they don't want Trump to win.
Well, I was going to say, though, don't you think that a number, now obviously it won't be all of them and not even most of them, but don't you think a significant number of them will be angry at Hillary? They obviously are impassioned about Bernie, enough so that they'll either sit out or maybe even a few would vote for Trump.
Oh, sure. You're going to have that at the end. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's what will be expected. It's going to be interesting, but it will be at the forefront. It's going to be Hillary and Trump. So, as I think most of us have thought of, all along, because Cruz is trying to nip. Kasich is falling way behind.
Yeah.
As much as I like Kasich, it's sad, but yeah. Yep, well, Trump leads 49%. Cruz is at 34%.
Yeah, you know, that's very true. It's very sad that you like Kasich.
Oh, come on, guys. Yeah, I do. I think he's been, you know, his sense and sensibility.
He's being honest.
Been okay.
He has been very honest that, you know, he wants to legalize the illegals and other stuff.
He's been more willing to be the more establishment positioned candidate.
Been the establishment.
Well, let me ask you, though, something about this Trump-Cruz thing, because Trump is now showing in the polls that he's well ahead in California. Do you feel that? Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, it is.
As far as Republicans go.
Versus Cruz? Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
what about
Trump and Hillary, like I said, and Bernie, by the way, let's not discount Bernie, because actually, the more I talk to people, it's Bernie they want. But I think they're giving up because they know he's not going to win.
Right. That's what I mean.
So
that's
now
why
it's Hillary.
That's why I think some of his support may end up either sitting home or going over to Trump. But let me ask you about Cruz. You know, Cruz, just the other day, he appointed Carly Fiorina to be his candidate, his vice president candidate, if he gets the nomination. Is she at all, you know, got a lot of support there?
I don't like her. You know what? Elizabeth Warren, in my opinion, is better than...
Yeah, but I'm talking about California in general, because she is from California. She's a California girl herself.
Yeah.
And she ran for the Senate there. She didn't win, but she obviously had some support. Do you think that
she
was...
She wasn't bad. She's a smart lady, and I liked her.
But do you think it's enough to help Cruz?
Could be.
You think it might help him in California?
So. No. And just because I really don't want to see him win. No.
So
like I said, I don't like Cruz. There's just something that irks me, and I hate to say that, and it's terrible, but just the way he speaks, the way he acts, and the way he looks, and those three things right there, I want to put him in the ring and maybe just shave his face down a little bit. I don't know. And take the strings off his neck, the back of his neck. It will be okay. Yeah.
Well, actually, I think you hit it right on the head, Sonny. Abe Katzman, a friend of ours who joins us every week from Jerusalem, he said the thing with Cruz is the more you see him, the less you like him. And it's, I believe, for those very reasons that you talked about. The way he delivers his message, it's this over-dramatized. I mean,
it's creepy. He just looks creepy to me. I wouldn't let him near my grandson. I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, there is that.
From the beginning to the end, he hasn't gotten any better. He gets creepier.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is that, too. People have noted that. People have said similar things on the show, callers. Yeah. And he doesn't get the persona thing.
Yeah, and it's like one of those creepy puppets in one of those bad scary movies.
indeed it is. And but he is he's coming up against it. I mean, if he loses Tuesday in Indiana, he's really going to be strapped, because
he'll be on the way back there.
Yeah,
I think Trump and Hillary's got it, just like we, you know, thought all along. I always did.
All right. Well, then,
so you think
at the end of the day, then that Hillary will be the next president?
Oh yeah,
You don't give Trump even a chance?
I'm going to give him a chance. I didn't discount him. I'm saying he's still there. It'll be interesting. But from what I've studied and read and California, it's looking like they want Hillary.
Yeah, well, I think California is going to be, you know, a lock for Hillary, no question about it. The question is, though, can Trump turn enough states?
Can Trump that?
Exactly, by winning states like Ohio and Florida, which Obama won, and Michigan, which Democrats almost always win, maybe even New Jersey.
So exactly.
If he were able to pull off a few states like that, it would be, let's just say, it would be a nail-biter.
So, in Ohio, since I happen to have relatives there, they're wanting, a lot of them want Bernie. But now, again, it goes back to Hillary. So, and it'll be interesting who Hillary picks.
Yeah, it will be.
If she, let's say she wins for her vice president.
Who would you like to see her pick?
It would be great if she paired up with another woman, like Elizabeth Warren.
Poor Aubrey.
I know.
He's about to lose his...
Wouldn't they?
You know, I can understand you saying that. You know, she'd pair up and offer the VP position to Donald Trump.
Just dispense with the election.
You
just have the
know,
two of them get together.
You know what? In this whole thing, people are stating that he's doing this for her. So,
he's been a Democrat for 40 years and a Republican for 6 months.
I tell you what, he may have started out that way, but once you taste a little success, you want it all for yourself. So
that's right. Well, maybe he may win, and she'll be vice president.
That's what I say.
That's another possibility.
Let's just get them together and dispense with all this mess. All right, tell us once again, how can people get on the cruise? Because it's this month, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's coming up in 3 weeks as of today, guys. It's counting down. I'm so excited.
How can people go?
Awesome.
Are you having any tickets left?
Go to aftoglow@c.com. And I think you're really limited, so you better grab that room now. Come on board and have some fun with us.
Once again, where do they get the tickets?
It's at aftoglow@c.com.
All right.
And then you can go on my fan page, Patricia J. Summerland. I changed it up again just because I have those cool names. But it's Patricia J. Summerland on there. And you can go to any of the Glow Girls fan pages, and you'll see it on there. We're pushing it.
Like
the last couple weeks.
Yeah, like Matilda the Hun's webpage.
Yeah, it's on there too.
That's right. Queen Kong.
Yeah, we gotta get her on a little bit longer.
We were having trouble getting her before the break, but we'll do that again. All right.
Yes.
Gotta go.
Wonderful, guys. Thank you.
Have a good week.
You too. Have a wonderful, blessed, sunny week.
Stay out of the way of those protesters now.
That's right.
All right, folks. We'll be right back. And we're back, and Aubrey's still looking at the Queen Kong website.
I'm in love.
QueenKong.com if you want to visit Matilda there. All right, she sounds like a hoot. We'll have to get her back in the future. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. As I told you earlier, Kathy Santomassino is in the saddle. And she was over here shaking her head and going, Matilda, 6'3".
Yeah, that's a hard act to follow,
Wrestling to the boys' wrestling team. Oh my gosh. Well, what you got for us tonight, Kathy Santomassino?
Tonight,
by the way, Kathy had a lot to do, probably more than anybody else to do with our new website. And so we want to thank her and congratulate her. It's great work, great website.
Thank you.
And she spent yesterday, which was her birthday.
Ooh, happy birthday.
Thank you, Aubrey.
29 again.
Viewing the music.
Backwards.
Viewing the movie Black Hawk Down.
Very cool.
That's a good sport when you spend your birthday doing something like that.
Yeah, I'm a very patriotic person, but I tell you, I think I held my breath through at least 2 hours of that movie. That was one of those cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I was telling Colonel McKnight, I said, the only way to describe that movie is if 13 Hours married, what was that movie?
Lone Survivor. Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
If they merged and had a child, Black Hawk Down would be their baby.
You've been listening to Obama too much.
It was just, I don't know how to describe that movie. It just was constant action the whole movie, and it was very graphic and extremely
violent.
Well, violent, but it was telling the truth.
Yeah.
So it had to be violent.
Yeah.
But I recommend everyone to go see that or rent it.
And according to the guys, it wasn't as bad as it was there.
Yeah.
I mean, as bad as you see the violence in that movie and the right. number of combatants that were shooting at them, it sort of a shadow of that. By the way, and I'm sure if you've seen the movie, you saw that one of the statements it says at the end, we lost 17, we killed over 1,000 that night.
Yeah.
And our guys were ready to continue the mission. But Clinton brought them home, and Osama bin Laden took away from that America could be beat if you just kill a few of us, that we will tuck tail and run. That was the lesson that he learned that night that drove him to be a bigger and badder terrorist.
Unfortunately, that seems to be the modus operandi of most of the Democrat presidents.
Well, yeah.
I tell you, what it did for me last night is if I was a Democrat and I'm sitting on the fence as to who to vote for, I sure as heck wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, well, all right. You know? So
anyway,
yeah, it was a great time.
Go see the movie. Great movie.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, of course, it's out on DVD, and you can see it. It's oftentimes on History Channels. All right, so what you got for us tonight?
Okay, for today's SOS News, did you hear about Bubble Boy Sea Voyage being deflated?
Bubble Boy, oh, I did hear something about some guy was going to try to go across the Atlantic in this bubble-like thing.
You're right.
What happened?
Well, it's a Florida man, only in Florida, right? Trying to reach Bermuda, Haiti, Cuba, and Puerto Rico in a giant inflatable bubble. Was rescued by the U.S. Coast Guard last weekend. Coast Guard Petty Officer Mark Barney said long-distance runner Reza Bellucci, not related to John Bellucci, was picked up Sunday off Florida, and his hydropod was being towed to shore. Bellucci agreed to be voluntarily rescued. The Coast Guard tweeted Sunday that Bellucci's voyage had ended after he violated a U.S. Coast Guard order not to embark on his seagoing journey. The contraption, years in the making, includes 36 buoyancy balls on each side, a life jacket with a water filter, a GPS tracking device, and even shark repellent. Bellucci set out from Pompano Beach on Saturday, despite receiving an April 15th letter from the Coast Guard warning him not to depart, according to Barney. The Coast Guard said it had reviewed Bellucci's plan and determined it to be unsafe. The first leg alone was about 1,033 miles. Bellucci tried to make a similar journey back in 2014 and had to be rescued about 70 nautical miles east of St. Augustine.
So how does this thing, I thought you talk about a bubble. I'm thinking of this like big bubble, like you got a hamster,
you're
right?
You're right. That's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like. And he like runs in it and is supposed to like scoot across the waves.
Sort of like a hamster wheel in a balloon. That's the only way I can describe it. And of course it's clear plastic or...
Only in Florida.
What do they use? What kind of material do they use? I don't know.
How does the guy go to the bathroom in there?
Well, I'm sure he has it covered. I hope it was covered
because of that wheel spinning.
He probably brings Depend undergarments with him before.
Yeah, but where do you put them after you've used them?
I'm sure he's got it all figured out. This is not his first rodeo. He tried again. This is his second attempt.
It's almost as bad as trying to go to the bathroom here. Have you ever tried to go to the bathroom here?
Where?
Downstairs. I went to go to the bathroom the other day, and they got this sign on the wall. Only do not flush anything but toilet paper. And they got anything in capital letters with a line under it. And I'm going, I ain't doing that now.
It's because they've gone politically correct. They've gone PC because sign also says that our system is very sensitive.
Hey, listen, Aubrey and Chris, we're looking for a porta potty sponsor. Anybody out there who leases porta potties, please contact Bill Files at Salem Media Group.
Do not flush anything but toilet paper. You tell me what that means. I'll be right back.
Time for a break.
And don't forget, if you do happen to get stung this summertime season, get that bottle of Roxy Pacific so you'll be ready. As a matter of fact, get you a bottle you keep at home in your medicine cabinet and get you a bottle you can take on the road with you anywhere you go. And you can find Roxy Pacifics. You can either go directly to their website, skinfix.us, or if you happen to forget, just remember AmericanAdversaries.com. You can get there via our website. It's really cool and just another great reason to go to our website. Let me just put it this way.
The architect.
Yeah, Kathy Santomassino is behind the big, she was a big part of all that. So what else you got now? That's going to be kind of hard to top.
That's a hard act to follow.
The bubble
I'm
boy.
Still, I have a vision of Attila the Hun or Matilda the Hun or whatever her name is.
Matilda, yeah. Queen Kong.
Yeah, there you go. Did you hear the world's longest snake died after being captured?
Now, how do they know it's the world's largest snake?
That is a great question, Chris. A humongous reticulated python measuring 26.2 feet long.
Ooh, wow.
Was captured at a Malaysian construction site last week, but the snake died 3 days later while laying an egg, new sources report. I wonder if the snake's name was Matilda. Anyway, the Malaysian snake was longer, and to put this in perspective, picture five grand pianos. Each piano is about 5 feet in length. A pickup truck.
No, that's a baby grand.
A pickup truck that is about 19.3 feet long.
Yeah, that's about
and
right.
Almost as long as an adult giraffe standing on the head of another giraffe. Giraffes are about 14 feet tall.
That's one big snake.
There you go. It's also longer than Medusa, the prior record-holding champion. She was the longest captive snake on record, according to Guinness World Records. In October 2011, Medusa, a reticulated python, measured 25.1 feet at her home in Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, how would you like to have that guy as a neighbor?
Yeah, she had her own home. Look at that. And I didn't do the inspection.
So the one that just died was a full foot longer.
Yeah.
Golly.
The snake's
pretty
two
amazing.
And a half stories.
And it laid an egg.
Yeah, so it was a female.
Well, I guess they're trying to incubate the egg, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Did you hear about the rubber duck race winner that gets dinner anywhere in the world?
The rubber duck race winner.
Yeah, this is really cool. A story out of Massachusetts.
Rubber ducks want to eat anything?
A Rotary club in a small Massachusetts town is gearing up for its annual rubber ducky race, in which the winner's prize gets a free dinner for two anywhere in the world. The Boston Globe reports that the winner of Harvard's Ducky Wucky River Race will receive free airfare, a two-night stay at a hotel, and a fancy dinner. Huh. The Air Rotary Club will kick off the festivities on May 7th when a construction vehicle will dump thousands of numbered ducks into the Nashua River to float downstream.
Hmm.
Last year's champion dined in Venice, Italy. Rotary member Jason Coppi says past winners have traveled as far as Paris, Tokyo, and Australia. The event finishes off the Apple Blossom Festival in Harvard, a town of 6,000 residents.
So the rubber ducks are all dumped in the river, and
yeah.
The first one to get down
all
is the winner?
All at random, different numbers.
So you get a number, and your
right.
duck, if it comes out first, you're
right.
the winner.
You're the winner.
And
isn't
you get
that
to go
bizarre?
Have dinner anywhere? Where would you have dinner, Aubrey?
McDonald's.
Aubrey, come on.
Where would you have dinner?
I would probably, I'd have it down to two places, Sydney, Australia, and Rome, Italy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Why Sydney?
Those are on my bucket list. I've always wanted to go to Sydney. Mm. It's
yeah,
one of the
what,
most
what,
beautiful
what's
cities.
What's the food like?
Well, I'm sure they have great seafood. And what is that food in Australia called?
Kangaroo?
Vegemite?
Vegemite.
Vegemite
sandwich.
Vegemite's a British, it's a British thing, and so is Marmite.
But I'm willing to try anything once. Yeah. A Vegemite sandwich.
Yeah. Okay. I was in Australia once, and then they paroled me.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's how you landed up here.
I wonder why. Speaking of ducks.
Just don't ask me why I was there. All right, anyway, go ahead.
Speaking of ducks.
Yeah, go ahead.
An ugly duckling told that she would never make it into modeling. Have any guesses who that was?
I know exactly who it is. Let's just say this. She's the wife of a very successful football player.
Bingo. Before she was the world's highest paid model, Gisele Bündchen was once told she would never be on a magazine cover. I remember some people telling me my nose was too big or my eyes were too small, that I could never be on a magazine cover, Bündchen told People in a recent interview. Bündchen, 35, first began modeling at age 14 in her native Brazil. It wasn't easy to be 14 and hear that kind of criticism. It made me feel insecure, she said. I already felt weird because I was taller and looked more mature than most girls my age, she continued. I just knew that I wanted to do my best and see if I could make it. So Bündchen turned to her family for advice. I told my dad, and he said, next time tell them, I have a big nose, and that comes with a big personality, she explained. And at that point, I felt I kept working hard and giving my best, and eventually it would all work out. By the way, Giselle recently retired after 20 years in modeling. Are you ready for her net worth?
Tell them how much she's worth, yeah.
$345 million.
Whoo.
And is happily married to Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
There you go. The power couple of all power
couples.
Talk about
winning the lottery.
Well, I don't know. She worked for it.
Well.
She had faith in herself, and I guess her dad, had faith in her. And, sometimes you just got to fight through the discouragement. Guess who I found out? Now, I knew that Jimi Hendrix had been booed off the stage in England when he was first coming out. And they thought that, what is this? He can't even play the guitar, right? Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who else was booed off the stage when he tried to make his big-time debut?
Give us a hint.
Well, just think in the past week or so, who have we been talking?
Prince. Yeah, I can
booed
see that.
Off the stage.
Yeah.
And the concert promoter, I think his name was Geffen. You remember? Wasn't
David
he?
Geffen.
Geffen. Yeah, he came out
Geffen
and
Records.
Cussed out the crowd for doing it.
Yeah.
And said, you have no idea what you have just done, and you will regret it. And lo and behold, did they ever.
Yeah, I heard he had a reputation for being an SOB, and some other famous musicians he didn't write or contract with, and they ended up being top sellers. And I can't remember who they are, but yeah, Prince was one of them, and there was another one too. Yeah, I can't remember.
Sometimes you just got to fight through it.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got for us?
Well, today's a sad day in the circus world. Barnum and Bailey Circus Elephants legacy ends today.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
The iconic elephants of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus will parade into a Rhode Island arena for their final performance today, ending a classic feature of the greatest show on earth that began in the Big Top circus tents 145 years ago.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a sad day.
It is. The giant pachyderm's last act follows decades of protests by animal rights activists claiming the methods used to train and house the elephants are cruel. Following a similar trend happening at SeaWorld with the orca, Barnum and Bailey has capitulated to the pressure as state and local rules placed more restrictions on the circus's use of exotic animals and the bullhook trainers use to control these majestic creatures. When the curtain closes, the animals will take one last trip by truck and train to Ringling's 200-acre Center for Elephant Conservation in Central Florida, where they will join 29 of their compatriots in the largest herd of Asian elephants in the Western Hemisphere. But the elephants will also be involved in some more serious work, the search for treatments or a cure for pediatric cancer.
Huh.
Elephants rarely develop cancer. Researchers want to find out why, so they are using the center's elephants to study the cancer-fighting gene entangled in their DNA. It's the end of a long era, and it's an overdue policy, said Wayne Pichel, president of the Humane Society of the United States.
Wow.
Now, they're going to be in Central Florida. Location hasn't been disclosed.
Wait.
But wouldn't it be funny if they were going to be outside of SeaWorld?
We go down there and break them out.
Yeah, wouldn't
set
that be
free.
Funny?
By the way, a lot of people think that the elephants are the most dangerous animals in the circus, but they are not. Do you want to take a guess what animal is more dangerous?
The hippo.
No, they don't have those in the circus. I'm talking about in the circus.
Oh, well, not in the circus.
Yeah.
I'd say tigers.
No, not lions either. Chimpanzees.
Oh, I would never guess that.
They are. They can be very mean and vicious, and they are very strong. And they can hit you with the back of their hand, and it'd be like getting hit by Mike Tyson. With
orangutans have that personality trait as well.
Yeah, but they,
and they're very, very strong.
Yeah.
And yet you look at gorillas, and gorillas look like they are massive, strong, and they're the most gentle of creatures. It's sort of, in a way, kind of ironic that the big gorillas...
Have you seen the way she looks at me when she says that?
Yeah, the big gorillas are actually more docile than the smaller chimpanzees.
Get one of them torqued off at you, though. You don't want to do that. All right, let's see. We've got Ron on the line going to help us out with the situation here where we can't flush anything into toilets but toilet paper. Ron, thanks for calling.
Hey, Chris. The reason why they don't want you doing that is if someone puts a tampon down there, it'll get stuck in the toilet and they'll have to pull the whole toilet off the floor to get it out.
Yeah, but at least they ought to be able to let you... You know, I mean, it says don't flush anything but toilet paper. You get it?
Well,
anything.
They're having problems with the drain system, like my septic tank. And I didn't tell you guys the punchline back when I said my septic tank was backing up.
Yeah.
I had a little turkey baster thing with a suction and a discharge hose, and I had the cap off right in front of the tank, and I was out there trying to suck it out so we could go to the bathroom maybe during the night before I got the guy out here.
That's desperate.
So it took me about a half hour to fill up two buckets.
Oh,
and then we never did go to the bathroom till he came. But and I listened to your show this morning. I was still up, and you were talking the score show.
Yeah.
And you and me, because we grew up here, we have the same stories. The Blue Jacket, I was going to call.
Yeah, the Blue Jacket Park.
Friday.
Yeah.
But you thought that you weren't going to be preempted, so I was going to wait till after 6:30 to call. And they go, and it's the Rays pregame show.
They nipped us Friday.
Yeah, listen, hey.
Yeah.
A couple doors down from where I used to work, there used to be a shoe shop, the old-fashioned ones with all the leather and stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing that we put on our boots were cleats.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you think I'm strange, you should hear the people Kathy's talking about.
Well, you know.
People don't think you're strange, Aubrey. They know it.
Strange, weird, strange, I don't know. You know, if Obama had a white child, it would look like me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Your ears aren't big enough,
I don't see that, though. All right, what else you got, Kathy?
You know, after last week searching for strange items for sale on eBay, I've got another great list today.
All right.
Okay, item, preserved pig fetus in a jar.
Why
description, 100% real preserved, about 7 inches long, shipped vacuum-packed, jar not included. Starting bid, $36. The part that concerns me is it's vacuum packed without the jar.
No, the jar. I don't know.
Well, because what are they doing? Shipping it on dry ice?
Why would
if it's vacuum packed, it's sealed.
Yeah, but who's going to be opening it? And then where do you put it?
You put it in a jar with formalin or whatever.
And formaldehyde.
Whatever you do, you better not put it in my refrigerator.
I was going to say, that's disgusting.
Put it in a pan with some butter, a little bit of garlic.
Vacuum packed.
Well, you buy nuts and vacuum packs.
Okay.
Here's another weird one. Item, actor James Woods dental impression teeth.
who's James Woods?
He's an actor. Description, here's a full mouth dental impression mold casting for actor James Woods. These were obtained from Dr. Dwork's estate files.
Dwork.
Not Kevorkian, Dr.
The molds were taken for work done on James for the movie Once Upon a Time in America. Starting bid, $99.99. Now, these are the actual descriptions that the seller puts on their page.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. You can't get any weirder than this.
What would be interesting, though, is how that guy got a hold of those things.
Ask no questions. He'll tell you no lies.
Yeah, don't ask
no questions. Dr. Dwork was probably the dentist. He passed away. Then his personal representative was having an estate sale and found the dentures. That's the only thing I can figure.
Who knows?
Now, coming from Japan, this is total bizarre. There's a thing called a boyfriend pillow, shaped like a guy's upper torso.
Easy does it now.
Complete with one arm for cuddling. Yeah. Ideal for those girls who are single and dateless or just want to feel safe when sleeping. A great replacement for those girls who have outgrown their teddy bear. For men, there's a girlfriend lap pillow.
Easy does it now.
That's right. A pillow in the shape of a woman's thighs, designed for that perfect snooze position. Okay, what's going on with single people in Japan? Why are they resorting to props? Okay, here's what I found in my investigation. The number of single people has reached a record high in Japan.
That's right.
A survey in 2011 found that 61% of unmarried men and 49% of women aged 18 to 34 were not in any kind of romantic relationship.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Nor did they want to be.
A rise of almost 10% from 5 years earlier.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Another study found that a third of people under 30 had never dated at all. Japan Family Planning Association. That's kind of an oxymoron.
Why
have
job.
A family planning association when you're not having kids or even dating, right?
In fact, it's a very big problem over there.
It is. Because the population's shrinking at a tremendous rate.
Exactly. And they're not reproducing fast enough.
The Family Planning Association found...
And pillows ain't going to get it done.
...that 45% of women aged 16 to 24 were not interested in... or despised sexual contact. More than a quarter of men felt the same way. I was thinking, could this be related to the Fukushima nuclear disaster and the radiation fallout?
This has been going on for some time.
What is going on over there? It's
been going on for some time.
Well, I mean, it's pretty weird, huh?
Yep.
What do you got, Chris?
You got something else for us?
Presidential trivia?
All right, give us a couple.
All right. James Madison was the first president to wear trousers rather than knee breeches.
Okay. Well, at least it wasn't a skirt.
I was going to say, I rue the day that we get a male president to be the first one to wear a dress.
It would be Michelle.
Maybe we already got one.
John F. Kennedy's father gave him $1 million when he turned 21, and each of his 9 brothers and sisters also got $1 million. Boy, did he have a lot of money.
Now, see? Now, just wait a minute on that there thing.
Yeah, because Trump got more.
No. No, he got $1 million from his dad, and he turned it into, what, the $10 billion?
Yeah.
No, because he inherited $100 million from his dad, too.
No, he did not.
When his dad died.
No, he did not.
I didn't hear that.
All his children inherited the old man's estate, all right? Which was valued at about that because he held properties that he rented out. And they divvied it all up. So, no, he didn't get... Now, he probably got, I don't know, what, there were 5 kids, I think, $20 million, something like that, of the old man's estate, which he then had to pay taxes on, right? All right. And so John F. got himself $1 million. What did he do with his?
He probably spent it on Marilyn Monroe. I don't know.
That's a good guess. All right, what else?
Grover Cleveland was the first president to have a child born in the White House. His daughter Esther in 1895. Gerald Ford was the only president whose 2 assassination attempts against him were made by women.
That's right.
Isn't that a weird one? I didn't even remember that one.
Old Squeaky Fromm and then the Manson girl or whoever she was. Yeah, that's right.
An avid golfer, Woodrow Wilson used black golf balls when playing in the snow.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, I didn't know you could play golf in the snow.
Well, I guess he did.
That's pretty dedicated golfer there.
Dwight D. Eisenhower played football at West Point and was injured trying to tackle Olympic and NFL star Jim Thorpe. I didn't know that either.
I didn't know. I knew he played
Isn't
football. I didn't know he was injured trying to tackle Jim Thorpe.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Huh.
President Grover Cleveland dedicated the Statue of Liberty on October 28, 1886. During Woodrow Wilson's presidency, a flock of sheep was raised on the White House lawn. The wool was used to raise money for the Red Cross during World War I.
Some would say we still got a big old flock of sheep up there called the Republican leadership.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Wolves in sheep's clothing.
That's right.
And the last trivia I have is, let's see, William Taft. He was the first of 2 presidents to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery. John F. Kennedy was the other president.
Yep.
So there's only 2 that are buried in Arlington.
That's right. Yep. All right. Good stuff. All right. Thanks so much. All right. Well, we're just about out of time tonight. We're going to once again leave you with Lloyd Marcus. Tonight, we're going to leave you with his tune, We Are Americans. And you can get his great CD, God, Country, and Love, at his website, LloydMarcus.com. And by the way, we're going to link up with that. So once again, you'll be able to go to our website after tomorrow and visit Lloyd Marcus's website through AmericanAdversaries.com. So please visit our website. Please consider joining the American Adversaries Army. We would love to have you be a part of the team, as it were. In any case, we'd love to have you listening to the show. Once again, we'll be back tomorrow. And don't forget, all week long, great events that will be on the road. BizFest Tuesday, Debbie Turner Cancer Center Wednesday, and Tijuana Taco Eating Tournament Thursday at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs.
Burp.
Get your tacos on.
That's right. That's right. Get a taco on. All right. So thanks, guys. Thank you,
folks. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, folks, for listening. And don't forget, Lloyd Marcus is coming up with We Are American. And that's from his great CD, God, Country, and Love. And don't forget to visit our new website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Stick around, because Mark Walters and the Armed American Radio Show is coming up with a great group of guys and gals that help him with his show. And thanks again for being with us tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Enjoy the rest of your beautiful Sunday evening. And with that, I guess we'll just say night, everybody.
Ciao.
Good night. God bless.
We are Americans, good people, blessed by God. A unique experiment which has survived against all odds. With courage and compassion and a yearning to be free, grateful Americans, you and me. Stay strong, Americans, in your quest to restore liberty. It's up to you and me to bring us back where we should be. The words of our fathers, penned in truth and dignity, faithful Americans, that's you.